Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on feet?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Well, I'll tell you, if I sound funny today, or if I start drooling all over myself,
it'll be normal.
It'll be because my mouth is shot up with Novocaine. I just had a crown put in. So, I broke a tooth on Saturday eating pizza. I don't know how that happened, but
what was on the pizza, Rob?
I don't know. I just bit down and a big chunk of tooth broke off.
Idiot!
Did Doc already say we won't even notice?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that didn't go unsaid.
All right. So coming off a must win, I guess you could say, 20-10 over
Carolina
Panthers. And is
it affecting your brain?
I think what we saw, by the way, this is PFW in Progress, and Andy's here, Paul's here, Doc's in the booth, Eric is nowhere to be found, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. I think what we saw, and Tom Brady said it on either Monday or after the game, they ground out a win. This is who they are now. They have to grind out wins.
It's so funny, though, because we argued last week that they were too big play focused and coming off 81 yards, 58 yards, 58
yards. Right, I told you they weren't.
And yes, I know, but they hit those big plays and they were in games because solely of big plays. Now they're a grinded out team.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if they found out who they are in 1 week or
for like the fifth time this season.
But Brady doesn't make this stuff up. The stuff he says on Sunday or Monday or even Wednesday, he pretty much parrots what Belichick says. And so if he's saying that's who they are, he probably heard that first from Bill Belichick, and that's who they've decided they want to be.
I think Sunday's win is kind of evidence that they're too big play dependent. When they don't get the big plays, they don't score points. They don't move the ball consistently. And Sunday, for the first time in a while.
They moved the ball. They just turned it over 3 times.
Fred, they had 370 yards against the Carolina Panthers. They had
turned it over three times.
They had the second lowest total of passing yards I think they've had all year.
Like I said, they turned it over three.
Well, they
times.
Only threw one interception. So, you know, why did they only throw for 180
twice.
Yards? What does that have to do with
it's,
how many yards
it's
you throw for?
It stopped drives.
Yeah, Fred, they marched the ball 85 yards on one of the drives that they fumbled on.
On one of them they did.
Right. So I don't understand what turnovers have to do with the lack of yards.
Well, it hurt their offense. It stopped drives.
Stopped one drive.
Yeah.
They also got 10 points on penalties that helped drives.
So?
So you take away the turnovers, you take away the penalties. They were an ineffective offense on Sunday.
Well, I mean, it was pouring out. I mean,
okay.
That has to do a little bit to do with it, right?
And all I'm saying is I think that Andy's point about the offense being a little bit too dependent on the big plays kind of was shown to be true on Sunday. They got the big play taken away from them and had a really hard time scoring points. That's all. That's the only point I was trying to make. They did have to grind out a win. Tom is exactly right. They had to grind one out, and they didn't score.
Fred's at a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, you have an offense that had 400, you know, as many times as the Patriots needed to repeat to us, they had 470 yards the previous week, getting big plays all over the place. This week they didn't get any big plays. They were down to 370 yards. You don't see a difference there?
No, I do see a difference. But to say that they were dependent on the big play
to move the ball
past,
and score points.
In the past, I didn't see that all year. Maybe in that one game against Miami, but you know, I don't think that this was. I think that this was has always been a team that needs to move the ball. You know, whether it's through the air or through the ground on extended drives. That's who they are.
But I think they get big plays on those extended drives. They're not getting them now, and they're having a hard time doing it. Mm. That's all I'm saying. They had one really good drive on Sunday. 96-yard touchdown drive.
Well, anyway,
suddenly that's what we're looking. If we could put together
one
good drive,
I'll be a son of a gun because I knew we were going to fight today, but I thought the name Randy Moss would come up first before the fight broke out.
We're going to get to Randy in a little bit because he's the topic, and Belichick and Tom Brady came to his defense yesterday, and I kind of like what Bill had to say about the Carolina guys. First of all, you know, it's a
Bill's
lot of
good when he puts a player on another team talking about his team. When he sets his focus on him, he's entertaining.
I just like when Bill does that in general. When Bill gets outside of his little box,
right.
and he sort of, you know, Fred Mitchell's terrible, you can print that, this kind of thing. I like when he gets out of his little box.
Well, and it's good for his players to see that.
Well,
you know?
he will get out of his box
when it comes to the defense of his own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of talk coming from a team that
lost another game.
Yep.
Which, what do you say to that? I mean, there's really not a comeback there. But the other thing that he said, and really this was more to Randy than to anyone else, is that, look, you know, we won the game. You know, it's not about stats. And when you look at the participation report, no one had more reps besides Tom Brady than Randy Moss. He was out on the field, I mean, besides, you know, Dan Copen and that. But as far as the skill players, he was out in the field more than any other offensive player, and they won the game. And what Bill Belichick is saying to Randy is, that's all you should care about. You helped us win. You were on the field more than any other player, and we won. End of story. You know, now, does he get that message? I don't know. Belichick said that he had a talk with him after the late gate stuff. So, you know, and I'm assuming it's after the game. But I don't know. You know, we'll see if he takes that stuff to heart.
Well, I thought the most interesting quote was, the stats are for losers line. We won a game, and that's all that mattered. And he went to Gary Clark. We could never hold him under 200 yards. Some games we won, some games we lost.
Right.
I don't know who that line necessarily is meant for and what it's meant to say.
To me, that was more to the media, because the media kept harping on the stats.
I agree.
Part of it. Yeah.
But I think you could also take it as Randy Moss, stats are for losers. If you want to be a winner here,
right.
We win as a team.
That's how I took it.
And then also,
that was a message to his own player.
I can look at it on my level as I'd say stats are for losers. And as a critic, I could say maybe Moss is worried about the stats, so that makes him a loser.
Right.
I think there's so many ways you can take one line.
I don't think that's why I don't think he would say that.
I don't think he would.
No, I don't think he's saying
but
it.
But I think
blatantly.
You can take it that way.
I think he's trying
you
to get
could
it.
Take it that way.
I think he's not calling Randy a loser.
Right.
I think he's trying to get Randy to say, Randy, don't worry about that. Stats are for losers.
Right.
You're not a loser. You're a winner.
You were always great because you made great plays yourself.
Right.
How about you be great because you helped the Patriots
win?
It's
like the line from A Few Good Men. You know, you don't need a badge on your, you know, to wear a badge on your shoulder to show that you have honor. Randy doesn't need to catch 23 touchdown passes to prove to his team that he's valuable. We can win games with you being a bit player, too.
Right.
And you have value to us. That's why I don't think he was saying, Randy, you're a loser
now,
because you're concerned with stats.
Having said that, we don't know what Randy's problem is or was. You know, it could just be his role, not necessarily the stats, but his role in the game. You know, once they find out how they're defending him, they're not doing anything offensively to overcome that. You know, who knows? But somebody, and I don't know, on one of the radio stations said something that to me made a lot of sense. When he was in Oakland in basically did the same thing, but because they were losing, he was the guy. I mean, he really was without peer there. You know, he was the star, and no one was – I don't know if anyone had the star power to, you know, to talk to him about that. Here it's a little different. You know, here, hopefully, because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and other guys have won and done more in this league than he has from a winning standpoint, hopefully this is just a funk, and it's not something that's going to last, you know, beyond last week, because he's not the guy here. You know, he is among peers here. Maybe, you know, not in terms of ability, but in terms of accomplishment. He's not the guy here.
Right. I think the biggest issue was the sitting on the bench. That, like, brought a magnifying glass. You know, the out route that he gave up on.
He did that in New Orleans, too, by the way.
But this was the most glaring example because not only was he sitting by himself, Brady comes over and is talking to him and is almost bending down to make sure he's in his face, and Moss is looking past him.
I know.
And
I
think that was what made it an issue more than, you know, he may or may not have stopped on his out route that caused an interception. You know, Brady kind of took the blame for that, said they saw two different things. You know, he may have dropped a pass on the slant because he was thinking and sulking, whatever, but when you sit on a bench like that with your helmet, I mean, kids do that in high school and peewee. Like, I'm going to sit here with my helmet on and just sulk.
I'm going to show everybody that I'm sulking.
Yeah.
And
that's
I want everybody to see me that I'm sulking.
Absolutely.
It's part of the
reasoning.
That's
the problem.
And, Fred, you bring up a good point about New Orleans, too, because I think that people can lose sight of this and say, well, it's one game. But it hasn't been one game. It's been four games. And I'm talking about the production being down, the demeanor being certainly visibly bad. I can't tell you what he's thinking because Randy hasn't talked to us.
Yeah.
And he hasn't told us what he's thinking. So I'm not going to tell you what he's thinking. But you're right. He sat by himself for an extended period against New Orleans, too. And the Jets, the New Orleans game, the Miami game, and this game have all been, I would say, noticeably bad games for him.
Yeah.
And I think there's a big difference there.
And, you know, he may be thinking that Tom and I aren't on the same page. I'm seeing one thing, things that I saw in the past that Tom would see, and now Tom's not seeing it, and I'm getting the blame for it. Maybe he's thinking that, and maybe it is true. But the way to deal with it, obviously, is not sit on the bench. It's to work it out. It's to get on the same page. It's to see what we've seen in the past where between series, they're down there talking about the next series and what they're going to do and what they just saw and how they can exploit it.
But we know who he is.
I know. He is mercurial. Absolutely.
He has issues. He's the anti-Teddy Bruschi. If he always did the right thing, according to Bill Belichick, Moss has always done, a lot of the time, the wrong thing when the rubber met the road and there was a kind of a crossroads there. He's done the wrong thing. So it's hard for him. It doesn't come naturally to be mature and a leader and all that stuff. So I think you're seeing a tough stretch here, and it could go one or two ways.
It could go either way.
And everybody else is doing their best to make sure it goes the positive way, I think, and they should.
Brady, Belichick, Welker,
everybody, Falk. I think they're trying to be – they're trying not to just allow him to kind of reign over the whole parade and take over the team, but they're also walking softly, trying to kind of coddle him
a little. You know, regardless of what the fans say, and they were pretty tough on him during the game. They were booing. And the media says – I hope Randy understands that his teammates are with him, at least the people that count, the big dogs, the guys that are, you know, talking to the media. They're backing him up.
I kind of found that the most concerning, though, is how much Belichick, Brady, Falk, and not really Welker, but the other three, felt it necessary to do that. Like, this is a thing. We need to do something about this. The fact that they almost by talking about it, they acknowledge that it's an issue.
There's no doubt.
Well, it's an issue.
No, we know that. But a lot of times what issue? What altitude in Denver? What heat in Miami? You know, they kind of pretend that we don't know anything until 2 years later when someone writes their memoirs about it and they say, oh, that was a major issue then.
Well
they're right now, like you guys said, it's going to be interesting to see which way it goes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be too excited about Randy Moss the next 2 weeks playing in Buffalo and then again here in New England with the weather. He's never done well in really cold weather with very, very few exceptions. Maybe the Houston game he bounces back indoors in Houston and has a good game then, but I don't have a great feeling about Randy Moss's impact on games coming up the next 2 weeks.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, these guys talking out in backing him up, Belichick and Falk and Brady, I think, you know, they have to do it now. It's come to a point now where you can't hide behind, well, that was the route, or there was a, you know, you can say that maybe Brady saw something that Moss didn't see on the interception. You can say that fumbles happen to everybody. But that, you know, alligator arm, that was just, I don't want to catch this ball. And that, everybody saw that. You know, everybody saw him pouting on the sideline. You know, so it's not, you can't hide it if you're, you know, the Patriots. You have to address it, both behind closed doors and, I think, publicly like they did.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. And but I think if you want to go where you want to go, you still are beholden. Yeah, you're beholden to Moss and trying to keep him happy.
Yeah.
You haven't given up on the season yet, so you can't give up on him.
There's no doubt he's being treated differently than, say, Adalys Thomas. Yes.
You have another guy playing absolutely out of his mind on the other side of the field in Wes Welker. Just, you know, catch after catch after catch. And you're seeing the difference. Instead of scoring 38 points with both of those guys producing, you're scoring 20. And you can't ask for anything more out of Wes Welker than you're getting. He's taking shot after shot, and he keeps getting up, and he keeps catching 10 passes every single week. Without Moss, it's a very limited offense. It's, I mean, it's just, it's no slam on Brady, but where else is he going to go to the, with the football other than Welker? Yep. He's only got one other option, really, on a consistent basis. I mean, they had 19 completions on Sunday. 10 of them went to Welker. One of them went to Moss.
Right.
You know, there's not that many other options.
No, and a lot of them were short passes, you know, to Maroney, caught a couple.
Watson had a good game on Sunday, I thought, made three catches, including a touchdown, but they just don't have any consistent options. And I wonder back, remember the first year when he came here and everybody said, hey, let's wipe the slate clean of what we know about Randy Moss, and let's see what happens. And we all said, you know, he hasn't really been in any legal trouble for the most part. All his troubles were, there was whispers about him not always trying hard. Well, let's watch and see it for ourselves here. And we all said, wow, this is nothing even close to that based on our first year. But we all said, we're winning, and he's been a big part of it.
Yeah.
The test would come if they were to lose a game or two, and not only that, if he were not really a part of the offense when they lost.
Right.
Well, we've seen that over the last month. They've lost tight games that he hasn't been a big part of offensively, and all of a sudden you're wondering where his head's at. Yeah. And I wonder if this is the Randy Moss that everybody else, you know, in Minnesota and in Oakland, we don't lose here, so we didn't see this. You know, it was 18-0, so we never got a chance to see it. And then last year we chalked it up because it was Castle
Brady. We saw a little bit of it when we saw the anxiousness on Moss when Brady first went down. It was like,
Where is he? Yeah. Where is he? You know, where's Tom?
Right.
So you're wondering, is this really the real Randy Moss? You know, all of a sudden you lose a couple of games. And I point really to the Miami one, I thought was really evident, where it's a low scoring game, a 22-21 game, and he's not really a part of the offense. You know, that's one that after the game he can sit there and say, you know, I'm Randy Moss, get me the ball. You know, and he's not doing his part to get open.
Yeah, I think the real Randy Moss is both.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
That's who he is.
It's who he is. Not everybody's a great leader, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who he is what you see. When things are going well, he can be a great, great positive for you. And when it gets tough, sometimes he can be an issue that you need to deal with.
I agree with you guys. I think there is two.
Fred, I want to point out, I have no problem with you know, Paul kind of wrote his analysis, Welker, Moss, kind of the juxtaposition of the two guys and the efforts this week and who they are. I'm fine with that. But I think it's downright ridiculous that all these guys are saying Brandon Marshall is the guy who fights for the ball and the guy I want on my team.
That's unbelievable.
Is this the guy who in practice was batting the ball down and punting it? I mean, because he had one great game, he's physically capable. He's just like Randy Moss. When the going is good, he's great.
He is absolutely
but
just
you know
like
what?
Randy Moss.
If they have a blizzard and he's sent home on Wednesday, he'll be sulking like anybody, be getting passes defended on himself, batting him down.
That's
asinine.
This is a guy that in training camp this year was intentionally batting passes down, and now this is the Boston media's poster child for
asinine.
Fighting hard as a wide receiver.
By the way, one of the people that was his biggest critic this week, Chris Carter, who was basically, you know, his mentor.
I think that's why he was so vocal, is because he was hurt.
Yeah,
it was too personal for him.
But even back in Minnesota, Chris Carter would dress down Randy Moss on the sideline,
right,
making a big show of it. I'm Chris Carter. I'm his mentor. I didn't like what Chris Carter did back then. I thought he was showboating for the cameras just as much as Moss does.
I don't know enough about that, but you might be right. I thought that what he said last night, I would tend to agree with Chris Carter, but I thought that it was like Brewski's thing about the defense in Indianapolis. There was too much emotion.
Right, too connected.
It was too connected. It was too close.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, again, I think that difference between here in Oakland is who he's surrounded by. He's surrounded by a bunch of people who have accomplished a hell of a lot more in this league than he has from a winning standpoint. And I think that should make a difference. You know, he has to listen to those people because they've been there where he's never been.
He has to listen. He doesn't have to hear them.
No, he doesn't.
And I'm not sure he heard Tom Brady on the bench.
We'll see.
You know, he was talking to him, but I'm not sure any of it was staying in that head.
And this is another part of the problem along that line of thinking, Fred, is, and this isn't necessarily Randy's fault, but you just made a comment, you know, he's surrounded by guys who've done a lot more winning than he has. Not really. He's surrounded by Belichick and Brady and Kevin Falk.
I think Falk's the key to it all.
There's what, eight or ten guys maybe that have really won anything significantly more than he has.
Yeah.
There's not that many guys around anymore.
The guys that are talking to him.
I think that's part of the problem is I think some of the new guys that have taken on big roles think they've won.
Yeah.
But they haven't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe a safety might be involved in that.
Enough of this crap. Speaking of safeties, can we talk about James Sanders' triumphant return to the starting lineup?
Woo! You look good.
You know what his record is this season? 2-0. Patriots are 2-0 when James Sanders starts the football game.
He had a big hit.
You're an embarrassment.
Nice
big
hit.
Nice pass defense.
He really never dropped.
Batted that ball down.
pass defense.
Do you want to look at the stats, Paul? It says pass defense, James Sanders. I'll find it for you.
Right.
He's rusty. That's not his fault. He wasn't out there. He hasn't been doing enough. He wasn't quite ready.
What do you think? Do you think this is just McGowan just declined and they said, okay, it's James, it's your turn again? Or do you think in practice James has been out playing McGowan?
I'll echo the statements of James Sanders and Sean Springs. I have no idea. They don't know. How could I possibly know?
Yeah.
How could I possibly know if the guy... Now,
Springs
McGowan
was down
issue.
To 11 plays in the game.
Yeah.
What was that?
McGowan was down to 11 snaps.
I got to tell you something. I missed 9 of them.
I did too.
I didn't notice him on the field very often.
Chung coming in his usual role,
right.
And I thought it was weird that the guy went from one of the top two to out of the top four. I have no idea. I mean, I talked to James Sanders about it a little bit post game. He doesn't have an answer for it. He doesn't, Springs put on a separate level because there's a lot of issues at play.
Yeah,
there.
There's something going on with Springs.
But James Sanders, I think, has done the same thing all year long. I give him enough credit as a professional that he works hard every day, shows up, and for some reason there was 12 games in between starts for him.
I think it's twofold. I think, number one, you're right about McGowan, Fred, and we've talked about it on the show for about a month. His play really leveled off and started to decline. I think that's number one. But number two, I do think there's an element of Sanders' leadership and professionalism that I think that Bill – thought it was time to get that back in the lineup.
That could be. That makes
Why wasn't
sense.
It time a month ago?
Because they were playing
because
better.
Because they're
then.
Really questioning themselves back there. There's a lot of, blah, 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 a lot of talk going on in the lockers and amongst that secondary,
Don't discount that Miami thing, by the way, because if we all noticed that, don't think that at least some of the coaches didn't notice the laughter
but
among the DBs.
But
Brandon
DVs. McGowan was not a leader 2 months ago.
We did.
Again, when you're playing well...
That's okay.
You can sit
right.
there and say, okay, he's not a leader, but he's giving me what I need.
I think
the
that's
last
bad.
Month he hasn't
I
played
think
well.
For Brandon McGowan, I think that's bad. I bend over for Randy Moss.
What?
I coddle Randy Moss. I change things for Randy Moss. I deal with things for Randy Moss.
So you had a lot of
I don't
different
deal
ways
with
to say
things
that
for Brandon McGowan.
Right. And I think that's what you saw.
What I saw all year is the guy Bill used to see, the guy he wanted to re-sign in the spring, the guy who he said, I want 53 James Sanders in terms of professionalism.
Right.
Why did he sell out to guys like McGowan?
Well, I think McGowan at that time was just playing better, pure and simple. I mean, he was. I mean, he came in and made a noticeable difference back there.
But if you knew he was, quote, playing better, but wasn't better for your team...
Again, at the
isn't
time
this a long
winning.
Season?
Yeah.
Well, aren't you laying the foundation for your overall team
I think,
throughout the year?
I think this team has been an evolution, and I think the conditions in the ground have changed.
I just find it hard to agree with Fred. Maybe he matches up with Tony Gonzalez. Maybe he matches up with X. You're going to tell me you can't find playing time for James Sanders in the middle of the year? James Sanders that was not happy. James Sanders was not happy that he wasn't playing. But because he was a professional, he put his head down, got his playbook every week, showed up, went out and was the wing on the punt team and did the best he could.
I understand that the Fred part about the conditions changing to get McGowan in. What I don't understand is how it went from that to Sanders completely banished.
Right.
I don't get that.
He's a starter. He's banished. Because, he's a starter again.
Because they've played a lot of safeties this year, and there were games where they were playing virtually every defensive back on the roster except for Sanders.
Well, maybe that starting safety is a very different role than when you come off in nickel, and it's all about speed and coverage. And Sanders, you trust him on first and second down when you have to play up against the run, but when it comes to passing downs, you want Chung out there just because of the speed. I don't know.
Sure. I mean,
he did that to an extent on Sunday, too. He was out there on early downs, and he was coming off on obvious passing situations.
And that's why McGowan didn't play a lot. They just reversed roles,
Yeah, I know.
They're different players.
Who the fuck? The voice of reason.
But they're also very different players, too. I think they have different skills.
The Novocaine.
It must be the Novocaine. I didn't really think of it that way. But McGowan and Sanders changed roles. Is what they did.
Right.
Instead, McGowan went from playing every snap to Chung is out there, Sanders is out there, and he's standing on the sideline. And that's probably why. Fred's right.
Because I was getting, just so you know, I'll share our listeners a story that was going to be written that'll never be written now. I was going to write a commentary about James Sanders. I talked about him and kind of promoting him as the team was in struggles. He was an old school Patriot. He was the guy from 5 years ago, the overachiever, even keel, level, professional, do my job kind of guy. And I thought getting away from guys like him is how you got yourself in the position of a two-game losing streak, people popping off, miscommunication, all that. And, maybe Bill and I think so much alike,
right?
In the same week.
Ultimately, you could be right.
He decided, I need consistency.
Yes.
I need a guy I can count on.
Yeah.
Not the guy who, McGowan, who I can count on some.
Right. That could be true.
But unfortunately, Bill buttonhooked him by actually playing him before he could write the story.
Right. Now I can't write the story.
But now it might prove what you're saying is right.
Yeah, but now it just looks like he
didn't think of it beforehand.
But we should get to Springs as well. He returned to the starting lineup after four straight weeks inactive.
I'm not going to say anybody played well in the secondary because Matt Moore is terrible.
Right.
So it's hard to judge.
But
I agree with you on that.
He made sure he wasn't going to be the whipping boy for the 41-yard touchdown when he said when asked what happened, he said, "Thanks, Merriweather, but I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. I'll take the brunt of it."
But doesn't that tell you a lot right there?
About
even
him?
Joking?
Yeah.
Just to say that.
Terrible.
I had a couple media members say to me, is he a guy that just doesn't get it, that doesn't even really see what's wrong with that because in Seattle and Washington that was okay?
Right.
I don't know. I have no idea. He seems like a really nice guy when you talk to him. He talks to everybody in the media. He learns their names. He, jokes around with everybody, but he just doesn't seem to get it.
Some guys that are sensitive, they just don't like blame being, fingers being pointed at him.
Well, the thing is that that's funny is we all sat there and looked at the play and said it looked like Merriweather bit on a short route again. But instead of being able to write, it appeared that Merriweather was supposed to provide deep help.
Bill saying, possibly, there was a miscommunication on the
possibly,
play.
Blah, 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 blah. Now he told us.
Well, now
so
we know what Springs
we can
thought.
All write. Yeah. Merriweather
right.
screwed up.
Right.
And we all thought that when we saw the play.
Right.
There's no way that he's going to be running to the middle of the field like that.
Right.
And, Springs actually had decent coverage on the play if he had deep help.
Right.
And there's no way that
he was in coverage because Matt, I throw it up for grabs more.
Decent,
threw it up for grabs.
Decent was the word I used because
that stinks.
Because he was still behind him, but
he's
letting him
pass.
Go to the inside.
The guy was open.
I thought he throws every ball about 10 yards too high.
Too high. Everything was too
Everything
high.
Everything is lobbed up there.
Yeah,
and he supposedly has this good arm, so he should have confidence to make a throw. But
you're right, Freddie. There was some possible plays that were there to be made for Carolina, and they just didn't make them. So
if they had Chad Henne, they might have won.
It's hard to say. Yeah, things that you never thought you'd say. I said to Andy, going down, I go, who'd have thunk you'd ever say, if this team had Chad Henne, they may have won.
Right, right. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. John from Dallas is on the line. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I was probably as surprised as you to see Sanders out there getting as much playing time as he did. But I'm just wondering if it has anything to do – well, there's two things I was thinking about. First, I was wondering if it has anything to do with, Merriweather's two blown plays back there, the one in New Orleans and now the one on – well, actually, the one on – this last one just happened. But if it has anything to do with, Merriweather's play back there. And then the second part of it is I was wondering if it has anything to do with, you know, the Patriots still trying to find a combination that works.
Well, I think the latter more than the former, because Merriweather got just as many snaps. It's McGowan.
No, I think what he's saying is because there's been so much miscommunication, including Merriweather, I think that's part of it. If you remember in New Orleans, Dean Pease said, we made more mistakes in the back end than we had added together all year in that one game. I think that's an issue. I think James Sanders, even the players early in the year were saying, when we have a question, we still go to James. Even though he wasn't playing, wasn't really part of any of the game plans, he is still the guy that knows this system better than anyone else in that secondary and was answering questions. So I do think the communication and the stability was a part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, is that, you know, with McGowan back there, I mean, I don't know if how he and Merriweather actually communicated, who was responsible for that communication back there, if it's Merriweather or McGowan. But, you know, the way I see it, Sanders in the lineup provides a lot of stability, right, or more stability back there, better communication.
Yes.
I would agree with that, and I would think Merriweather was the guy when Sanders was out that was providing the communication.
But maybe he's not capable. He needs to know what he's seeing before he can communicate it to others. And clearly he's had some breakdowns where he's not really aware of what he's seeing.
So, second question. Do you guys think this whole Moss thing in the media is overblown? Or,
nope.
You know, are you agreeing with Chris Carter and now Jerry Rice saying that, you know, basically Moss is dogging it and, you know, they've seen little effort from him of late? Do you think it has anything to do with Bill reprimanding him, or is it something?
I think it's all the above. I think that he's been frustrated, but before even he got sent home.
Yeah.
And that kind of was the tipping point. But, again, I hope that they really, you know, address this head on and he can get out of this funk that he's in. I don't think it's as bad as it was in Oakland.
Well, I don't think it is either, but – another issue here, and I didn't hear it, I read it on Pats fans. Apparently Michael Hawley said on the radio that he has under good knowledge that Tom Brady called out Moss on the practice fields before this week.
He said he knew for a fact.
And that was an issue. Moss was hurt by it, quote-unquote, and that was an issue. So this
very,
may
very
be
hurt.
A couple weeks here span. But I think to what level it is, I have no idea, but it's clearly an issue because all the players addressed it. You know, one of the issues last week Kevin Falk addressed was, why was it Moss and three others sent home? Not list all the names, whatever. Now, me, that, I think, is how it works. When you're the biggest superstar in a group, X and three others. I think just like if, you know, if the Patriots had three different receivers with two touchdowns, it would be Moss. Two others have two pair of touchdowns.
Right. And
or whatever.
He is a captain.
But beyond that, he's the star. It's all about headlines are about stars and attention. He is a star of all stars, practically. That's going to happen. When you're a star, good or bad, you're going to get noticed.
I didn't realize he was so sensitive.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's very sensitive. Yeah, he is. And that's probably part of what makes him so great, too, though, John, is because he takes everything to heart. It's a chip. You know, Rodney had a little of that in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rodney was just, I think, tougher. But I think Rodney was very, very
sensitive. Well, Rodney dealt with it differently.
But, well, he was tougher.
Yeah.
Instead of...
I think Fred made a great point there. It's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Randy get insulted or, you know, accused of dogging whatever.
And he recoils, whereas Rodney used to fight.
But I think we've also seen Randy at times when respond in a good way. I think he's had some big games because he didn't like what was going on or somebody said something or somebody did something that he took as a sign of disrespect. But other times, he tanks it.
Yeah, I don't think it's being overblown, though, to answer your original question, because I think it's right now the number one issue on this football team is and Fred and Andy talked about it, Belichick, Brady and Falk coming to coming to the defense of Randy Moss. I think that's occupying a lot of this team's mindset right now.
Yeah, and they got to get over that. They need a win in Buffalo, and it's not going to be an easy game.
Now, do you guys think AD returns to the lineup this week, or is he out for the season? You think they got to bench him?
I think there's a chance he's active.
Yeah, you can't say never with Belichick. You just can't. Whenever you try to figure it out, you can't do it.
Thomas tried to do his part. Last week's done. We move on. New week.
Well, I think
if he had done that last Thursday, he probably would have been active in the game.
I mean, Adalys Thomas, he's back at practice. If he doesn't play on Sunday, it will be a performance issue. It has nothing to do with what he said.
I'd like to think that.
I really think that Bill Belichick puts that stuff behind him really quickly.
If he does that, I think he has to be active.
It makes cold, hard decisions when it comes to winning football
games.
If
Bill does that, then I think he has to be
really?
Active. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't do too bad without him on Sunday.
And well, that's fine. And I'm just saying, on the basis of it all, just the bottom line, don't tell me that he's not one of your best 45 active players. Even if he's going to play special teams,
don't tell
the guy
me
can run and is 6'4" and 270 pounds. Don't even if just flat out special teams, just dub him a special teamer. I think he's one of your best
well,
active
we think
players.
He should be like you know Paul better than Pierre Woods. But
oh, he is.
Is he playing better than
yes,
Pierre Woods
by a lot?
Is he?
Did you see Pierre Woods at all Sunday?
A little bit, yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. He had a penalty.
I think he was credited with a few tackles.
He didn't make any plays at all in the game.
If it's just purely on best available, he has to be active. So that's why I will see. But I don't know if it's purely based on that. At some point, I think Bill says, screw you. Stay home.
Yeah, I mean, they have 8 linebackers on the roster, including Eric Alexander, which is he's more of a special teamer. I don't know. I think every week there's going to be one of them that doesn't play a lot. You know, and so then why take up a roster spot, whoever that person is?
One tackle, yeah. One assist for Peter Woods.
I mean, he's right up there with Thomas.
He didn't do anything.
That's a pretty good observation.
Right.
Can I make a general comment, guys? I'd like to get your opinion on this.
Sure.
You know, Belichick has talked about, I mean, since he's been here, he's talked about versatility. I'm at a point where I've had enough of versatility. I want specialists. I don't care if a guy can drop back and like AD who can play, who's played safety, who's played this, who's played that. I just want somebody who's a specialist and is good at, you know, a particular thing like pass rushing, for example. Do we have too much versatility and not enough specialization?
Well, I think this year more than ever they have specialists. They're just not all that good in their specializations.
Yeah,
I think Derek Burgess has brought here to be a pass rusher. I think even Tully Bantakane, we streamlined his role to do one thing. I just don't think they're talented enough to do it.
Right.
I'm sort of with you, John. I think that versatility word around here gets, I think, overrated. I think
it does, but I don't think with this year's team because I don't think they're versatile.
No, no,
I think they say Pierre Woods is our early down linebacker, then he comes off the field.
No, but I think
Derek Burgess comes on. The problem is none of the guys that are now specialized in their new look defense are good enough at any of their specialized roles.
Yeah, I'm thinking in terms of the guy he used for an example when Adalys Thomas.
He just thinks he was a bust.
And I think that there has been a tendency to sort of target guys like that. Oh, he can do this. We can use him this way, that way, this way. I think they'd be better served to find a guy, you know, who can do one or two things really well rather than 4 or 5 things okay. And I think that sometimes we lose that. I think versatility is a buzzword around here. And we think that means a guy's better than he is because he can do a lot of different things. But I think
I think it's
hard to find those kinds of players that could do a lot of things mm-hmm. well, like Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, but I just want somebody to do one thing really good, and that's get after the passer. And AD seems like he can do that if they just let him do that more.
Well, that's one of the great questions. Does he have that?
I'm not sure he can do it.
I've seen him get up there and just start dancing with guys.
I have, too.
Yeah.
He looks like Derek Burgess a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But how did that get so poorly screwed up?
Yeah, I mean, you have to say that they bought what a lot of people were saying in terms of his versatility and didn't buy what a lot of people were saying in terms of how he was propped up by Ray Lewis and all those other guys.
The latter part of that, I think, is in a long line of guys that owes a big portion of his check to Ray Lewis,
right.
If you ask
me. No, but my question is, they have scouts, right? When you're going to hand $35 million to a guy, you watch every play he played the season before. And you can either watch him get off the ball quickly and get around the tackle or not. It's very simple. It has nothing to do with Ray Lewis. If he's getting there every time because he's unblocked, then he's not worth $35 million.
But,
that's Dan Plucko.
But they
didn't think that about him because they never really have used him in that role.
But
why did they pay him so much money?
But no one lamented that more than you.
Then why did they sign a $35 million middle linebacker?
Because I think they thought he could do a lot of things well.
They had him playing. Remember, they had him playing.
Well, now I'm full on board with versatility is
well,
crap.
But that's why I'm kind of agreeing with John.
I thought they thought he could do a lot of things at an elite level, including rush the passer.
Yes, they thought he could do a lot of things.
That's my point.
Well,
put the tape on, press play, and did he have an elite first step? Did he move quick enough?
Yeah.
The answer should be fact, not in any way related to Ray Lewis.
But I think
it's a time thing. It's how quickly he got off.
I think they thought he could get after the passer on a part-time basis and drop into coverage on a part-time basis and fill in the run from an inside linebacker, again, like I said, to your dismay wasting him, quote-unquote, at inside linebacker his first year. I don't think he does any of those things at a $35 million level.
But
they thought he could do all of those things at a reasonably high level. There's no question.
Isn't he Gary
Guyton?
Missed. I mean,
they
Gary Guyton, and he seemed to me to be the same player. Can play inside and out, have the speed to run with quote-unquote tight ends, have the speed to rush the passer a little bit. One was an undrafted player, and one was a $35 million signing.
I agree. Yeah. And I also...
same guy. Same people evaluating the guy.
At the end of the day...
One they thought was worth a ton. One they got lucky and signed as a rookie free agent.
And Bill says all the time, we didn't think he was that
good.
We think so, Bo Rude.
At the end of the day, you give them the truth serum, and they have to say, we screwed up on our evaluation of Adalys Thomas.
But that's what I know they screwed up. That the proof is in the facts.
Right.
I want to know how you screwed up. How you so misread.
Well, that happens on every team,
what do you want,
every
jobs?
Year. I know.
I want to know who was responsible.
I just want to know.
They screwed up.
They missed,
but how?
Yeah. What do you mean,
You guys just said it.
I mean, a lot of guys, they get that big check, and for whatever reason, they're not the same guy.
But I don't think that's the...
Well, I don't
know,
but
that's a very convenient thing right now to say.
That has happened before.
But that's not what happened to him. He just hasn't been as good as... From the day he walked on the field, he wasn't as good as we were told he was.
I mean, from day one, Paul and I used to joke in training camp. How come for a guy who's supposed to be able to run with tight ends, he's always 3 yards behind tight ends, even in practice? All the time, like with consistency. And I don't fault him for it because I don't think there's a linebacker on the planet that can easily run stride for stride with a tight end. But he was always, and we joked, you know, when are we going to see all this stuff that we were kind of sold?
I was fully on board. And I remember that summer I was calling him, he was the Randy Moss of the defense.
They called it the perfect storm because he was available, filled every need. He wanted to come here, turned down other offers, but, you know, all of it.
This
was an
elite
special teams.
It was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it sunk your ship.
You have to make the premise that he did that. He dogged it from the day he got here then.
I don't think he did.
I'm just not buying it.
Thanks for the call, John.
I don't think
he was Mr. Humble Pie.
Yeah,
all right.
I just think that he hasn't been as good as we were told he was. And another thing that Andy and I never agreed with, the conventional wisdom is, oh, you can line up outside on Chad Johnson and knock him out of, you know, because he bumped a wide receiver off his route once doesn't mean he can cover, you know, wide receivers. You know, Rodney Harrison couldn't make a living doing what he did against the Colts that day.
He can line up against Marvin Harrison, a Hall of Fame receiver, any day you want him to.
All right.
Except if you ask him to do it a lot. A
lot of emails.
That Hall of Fame receiver would be
right
the best
back.
Ever.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the view of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
It's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up got the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery. MassLottery.com.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast plan and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had a story of something that happened to me in Seattle. I had a problem in the press box bathroom. Before the game, I went in to, you know, do my business and realized there was no toilet paper. And there's only one stall, so it's not like you could even ask for help. I peeked out and there was no one in there. So I ran out with my pants down around my knees. I've got one hand holding up my pants, but waving my hand in front of the hand dispenser. That wasn't working. Then I saw this like kind of work pylon. And on top of it, sure enough, were three rolls of toilet paper. The problem is, it was right by the door. So if I went for that and someone opened the door, I was screwed. But I did it, and I went for it, I grabbed it, and I ran back to the bathroom, and I made it.
Oh, no one came in?
No. Oh. Nobody came in.
Would have been much better had someone come in.
Yeah, but it was harrowing. All right, back here at PFW Progress. I'd gladly take that situation over the one I'm in right now.
Jaw hurts,
some pain, yeah.
Maybe you should stop eating rock pizza.
They couldn't.
I still don't understand how pizza, like a little thin slice.
It must have been cracked already, and that was just the final straw. But they couldn't numb the area that they needed to numb. It took them like three tries. So I think what I'm feeling now is all the needles that were in my
jaws. Do you have any medication?
Jaws.
Any pain medication?
He didn't give me any.
Why do you want some?
Do you have any?
No, I don't know. I was asking if Andy wanted some.
Quarterback wants the Vike. You got to get him the Vike. Just ask Brett Favre.
We were talking about Brady calling out Moss on the sideline. Adam writes in, Michael Holly said that Brady called out Moss in practice about a month ago, not this
week.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I said before
and
all this.
And it's been a month that his effort has been called into question. That's why we're concerned.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Let's see. A lot of emails. Do we have any phone people on the phone right now?
he's now wondering if there are people on the phone. Usually he ignores them.
Makes
them
wait
minutes.
An hour.
Webradio at patriots.com.
He just doesn't want to have to talk because it hurts.
508-543-7482.
Before you read an email.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Oh, that's right. I knew I had to do something.
Happy
birthday. Lunch today is from Dave in Tintola.
Birthday.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. In Tintola from
happy
New
birthday.
Jersey.
Oh, nice.
It's its birthday today.
Happy birthday.
So happy birthday to Dave.
Happy birthday.
And Jason says that we've been kind of neglecting our lunch buyers the last few weeks, and they're going to start revolting.
You probably weren't supposed to read that.
I did forget to thank Cormac the other day.
On his wedding day.
No, we did.
I thought I did, too.
We definitely did.
See, we talk about it off air, but I'm during breaks.
We talked about his wedding.
Yeah.
On air?
You guys definitely did, and B-Lo mentioned it on Fantasy Lowdown.
Okay,
we
did
definitely
thank Cormac. Okay.
So he's on his honeymoon.
I'll thank
right
him
now.
Again.
And that's why we didn't get an email, because
so
obviously
listening.
He was getting married.
Hopefully but I'll also
listening.
Thank again Dave Intentola today from New Jersey
we'll
for lunch.
We'll thank Cormac again,
yes,
too, because
yes.
Anybody who buys us lunch deserves more than one thank you.
And right. Anyone else who feels slighted, we thank you for buying us lunch and any future lunches you may choose to purchase.
Absolutely, Andy. Very well put.
Let's see. Let's get to some emails.
Cormac is drunk at his
web radio at patriots.com.
bear you know what in the woods?
Christian writes in, and this is not Chris with a T-I-N. This is the Christian from Denmark.
Oh, okay.
He says, question, what do you do with Moss? You can't cut him, bench him because of cap and offensive production, right? So do you baby him, have Brady tell him, it's all good, Randy, you the man, you still got it? That thing with Wes was a mistake. I was drunk. Blame it on Fathead. on the topic of AD, he's dead to me. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. on your way out. Wish we could get Brewski, Vrabel, Seymour, and Harrison in here to yell a little, shake things up. So, Randy, your baby. Adalis, see you later.
Right. And if Adalis had 16 sacks, Adalis, you baby.
Right.
Because
exactly.
You wanted 16 sacks.
Exactly.
Because
for all of Moss's faults the last month, he still has 1,000 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns,
right.
And is still a very important
it's
part of your offense.
It's not quite as easy to argue that he's 6th or 8th in yards like he was a week ago when
he
said
was first.
He's leading the NFL in yards.
Yeah,
but
it's funny how 16 yards will do that for you. But the I have a question for you guys in terms of next year and the uncapped year. What are the ramifications for cutting guys?
What do you mean?
The uncapped year. There is no cap. So
right.
What are the cap ramifications? Do you have to ever deal with that?
I don't believe so.
That's a good question.
Like, let's just say, for argument's sake, you signed a guy this year to a 5-year deal with a big signing bonus. Can you cut him next year at no prorated cost?
Theoretically. That, I think, will be addressed in the
negotiations. So guys could be, and we had an email about this, and I apologize for not remembering who the email was from, but it raised an interesting point that I hadn't really thought of. Could there possibly be veteran players who are under contract
yes.
that are concerned that they're going to get gassed next year?
Yes. It's going to be dealt with in the negotiations, I think, because all these people that think you can just go out and buy a Super Bowl title, some people I've talked to have said that's a dangerous way to go because in all likelihood, some of those things will be addressed when the cap is restarted the year after,
yeah.
and some of it will be included. It's not necessarily the free year we try to make it out to be because there may
right.
be some issues moving forward based on what you did in that year if you went crazy.
Right.
And I would think that will be negotiated, addressed, talked about. Oh, this team cut 7 players. And
as we get closer, they might have to say, like February, okay, no transactions can happen until we figure this out. They might have to put a moratorium on any transaction.
I don't know if they can do that.
They did that the last time.
Once they get close.
For a month. Remember they put it off for a month?
Yeah.
They delayed the start of the new league year a month last time.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to be allowed to do that, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it was put in place for a reason. So as a player, we negotiated this to start this day
right.
that we have an uncapped year. You can't change the rules,
sure.
right? I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that would have to be agreed upon by the players.
Well, maybe there are. Maybe this stuff is already addressed. We just don't know about it.
Well, I tend to agree that with
yeah.
that. And I just – most of the things that we've heard about the uncapped year have been more about what you're talking about in terms of loading up.
Right.
But I haven't seen anything about loading down.
But my
so
guess
speak,
is
– you know, and
if
using
it's dramatic,
it as
it'll be
free
addressed.
Get-out-of-jail-free card.
If it's dramatic, it'll be addressed. That'll be my guess. If the Patriots cut Moss, Thomas, and
well,
accelerate –
Moss is in the last year of his deal, so he's not that big a deal. But
right.
there's other guys that – you know, because whenever you enter the last year of a big money deal, that's your candidate to get cut under any
right.
parameters. But I think that there are other guys that, you know, not just Patriots related, but around the league.
I don't think there's enough that it'll be a major issue. Because I think there is, it's only a specific guy. It's a guy who was really good or thought to be really good, got a huge deal, and has been really bad. You know what I mean? I don't know how many of those actually exist. Like, you're not going to cut Peyton Manning. Just because he has this large cap, you still want Peyton Manning.
How about Albert Haynesworth?
I wouldn't think so, but because I thought they were happy with him.
No, they probably are, but they might look at it and say, well, yeah.
They already paid him the money.
He's good, but he's not that good. You know, I don't know. Just
you know what I mean? They already paid him the money.
Yeah.
I don't know
more
if they
so
gained
than,
anything.
More so, this is one of those things I'm more concerned. I'm more curious about, not necessarily the practical application of it as the literal.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Maybe the Oakland Raiders. They have a quarterback, a punter, a wide receiver, a cornerback. They have a number of guys that I think you could say they
Jamarcus
could be legitimate.
Russell, though, is a good one because
yeah.
you know that they
but
want
I think
to get rid of
for
him.
It to
well,
be an
I
issue.
I should say you know they want to get rid of him because the you never
for
know
For it
what
to be
Al
an
Davis
issue,
wants.
I think a team has to have multiple examples of it, not one player. For it to really truly throw a wrinkle into the whole system, we got to do something about this. I think a team would have to have multiple players, probably totaling in the
yeah.
tens of millions, you know, $40 million accelerated.
Just some interesting stuff.
Paul Perillo, like most Patriots fans, already looking to the offseason.
That's not why I asked, because we got an email about
it. He's also
it today.
Stupid, like most fans.
Vacation planned already, huh, Paul?
Not
January
really.
4th or 12th?
Going out of Florida.
No, not in January. It's
no.
not a good time, Freddie. No. It's still kind of cold down there.
Yeah.
Plus, it's Florida. It smells.
You come down to my parents' house. It doesn't smell.
You probably have nice candles in the house, but if I go outside, it'll smell.
Michael
the
Vandalism
stinks.
Has an MP3 that he's made for us. Why don't we listen to that?
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandals. I'm coming to you with a premium question. So my question for this week is going to be about the veteran leadership that the New England Patriots have been lacking. And you know something? The more that I see Asante Samuel play, the more I see a veteran leader and a playmaker. I mean, all that guy has been doing for the Eagles is making plays. And I really think that it was a big mistake letting him slip away. And I think if we just paid the guy, I honestly think that he would have been one of the defensive leaders. And I think that the defense would be a complete, total different defense with him on it right now. I mean, I really think that he'd be able to pull the team together and get them going for what they need to be doing for the playoffs this year. And I think that was a total mistake now that you definitely look back on it and see what he could have done for the team. So I was just hoping to get your intake on that and see what you guys got to say. All right, talk to you later.
Peace out.
Not really a question, but...
Well, I think he wants
our opinion. Could Asante Samuel be a difference maker as a leader? I'd say no.
Not as a leader, but as a player.
Physically, as a playmaker,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Leadership.
They wouldn't need the leadership because, you know.
Well, that would be the trickle-down effect. Right. When you have an elite corner, it can change your whole defense, your whole playmaking.
Right.
You're
right.
Winning instead of losing. Yeah. Leaders aren't so necessary, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of leadership, I don't think he is a leader. And I think, if anything, he's a little bit of a follower who could fall in line with some negative leaders.
Right, but he is a playmaker, and there's no doubt they could use a corner of his caliber.
He jumped
team.
A route the other night and was wrong. Like, I've never seen a corner jump a route. Like, the safety came over, and they kept it from being, like, in a real embarrassing play. But he just said he guessed that they were throwing to the underneath guy, and he jumped it and just left his guy 20 yards. It was tremendous. It's why he's great, because more often than not, when he jumps routes, he's right.
Yeah, physically, he could help, but mentally, I think, to the contrary, I think, and we saw Ted Johnson had a quote about him, about an unrelated, you know, kind of matter. He and Eugene Wilson were guys that Rodney sort of had to keep a thumb down on every once in a while. He had to make sure.
Yeah.
Hi-ho.
Why can I hear Jason typing?
Your mic is on in there. Thank you.
Sorry.
Angus from Edinburgh, Scotland writes,
what's up, Burger Man?
This recent allegation that Randy Moss is not putting enough effort into games is something I actually agree with. Despite the arrogance of those no-name Panther corners expressing this to the media, I believe there is some truth to it. I've been thinking this since the Rams game last season with Castle as the quarterback. He seems to drop key passes, potential touchdowns, or makes no effort to fight for the ball, which in some cases has led to turnovers. Apparently, statistics mean little to winners, so regardless of him being over 1,000 yards with 9 TDs, tell me why some people, including myself, think he's not playing to the standards we expect him to. Is it his motivation, confidence, or, God forbid, his age? What's his attitude?
I think it's all. I know that you guys disagree with me, but I think he's slowing down, too. He's not the player he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's more mental than anything else.
Maybe more. I'm not willing to put a percentage on it, but I think that in the past, a game like the Jets game, when he was completely and totally calling out the guy that was covering him, he would blow by that guy for several big plays, and he didn't make a single one in that game against Revis. And I think that that's part physical. I don't think that was mental that day. I think that was physical. And I also think that he's dealing with a back problem from earlier in the season that hasn't allowed him to play probably up to his capability.
I mean, I have heard that since week two, he hasn't been 100%.
You're probably going to get mad at this, Fred, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't see where a player's ability level has to do with his, credential to state his opinion about a guy's performance. Chris Gamble, first of all, is a pretty good cornerback. He's not a stiff. But he says that Randy Moss didn't seem to be trying out there, and they thought they could get him to quit, and they did. They saw it on film, and they did. I don't understand why, because he's not Champ Bailey, he's not allowed to say that.
No, it's because they lost the game.
Who
Paul.
Cares? He was asked
you don't
a question.
That. That's poor. That's
I don't understand
that's Bush
that.
League.
I don't understand that.
That's Bush League.
No,
it's
Bush
same
League,
thing. It's the same thing as coming out and saying, we're the better team, and the better team
no,
didn't win
that's
today.
That's not what he
it's
said.
It's the same thing.
But that's not. See, I think that is Bush League. We're the better team, but we lost. He didn't say we should have won the game. He didn't say they weren't that good. He was
he
asked
said
a
Randy
question,
Moss wasn't that good.
And he wasn't. And he was asked a question about the effort of the guy who he was covering. And he said it didn't appear as if he was trying.
Yeah.
We saw on film that he would quit if you got physical with him and took him out of the game early, and that's what we saw in the game. And the safety said the same thing. Chris Harris, I just don't understand why, because the guy's not a seven-time All-Pro, he's not allowed to say that.
I think that, you know, you just lost the game, and you are talking about a guy who's probably going to be going in the Hall of Fame.
Again, I don't
Shut
see why that. I don't understand
Shut
why that has
mouth.
Anything to do with it.
Because it's
he
petty.
Was asked a question about that game, and he answered it.
And
if
should,
more players
and
answered honestly,
said is,
maybe we would
hey,
be able to believe what they
I'm
said.
I'm not worried about them. I'm just worried about the fact that we just lost the game. That's what he should
How do you
be
know
saying.
He didn't say that?
We know he didn't say
no,
that.
You
no,
don't.
We don't, because that wouldn't have gotten printed.
That wouldn't have gotten in the paper. I wouldn't have
well,
written it.
No, but you end it there. You don't go on beyond that. You don't start. Well, you don't start bad mouthing other teams' players after you lost, or even before you play the game. You don't do that.
I personally have no problem with what Chris Gamble said. None, zero.
How about when
because it was
Randy
fairly
Moss
evident
was
to anybody
whether
who was watching.
Darrell Revis was one of the best corners in the league.
Paul, it doesn't matter
no.
whether it's
whoa, whoa,
evident
whoa, whoa, whoa!
Or
no, what? Answer the question.
What?
Randy Moss was asked.
Yes.
Earlier this season, after the Jets had beaten the Patriots, if Darrell Revis was one of the best young corners he's faced, and he said no.
He shouldn't have said it.
Okay, at least
I don't remember you saying that then.
You shouldn't have said it. No one asked.
Well, no, they did ask. Someone always asks.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean no one asked you?
Right. No one asked
you. You wouldn't have said it at the time, you fraud.
Sure I would.
No Novocaine talking.
Freddie. That's how this stuff starts is, you know.
Listen, I don't have any problem with what Bill said yesterday because, like I said, I love when Bill gets outside of his little box. I think that was very funny. It was entertaining, and I think he was defending his players as he should. I just... You know, I saw Deion Sanders say, Chris Gamble, first of all, doesn't have the credentials to be doing that. Well, I don't understand what your level of play has to do with your eyes. You can tell if a guy was trying or not. He was asked if he thought the guy was trying, and he said no.
I look at it less as his credentials. I don't care about it. I look at it that you just lost the game. Shut up.
But he's not calling out the team. He was asked a question about the guy's effort, and he answered it.
Yeah.
He's supposed to lie?
You're supposed to evade the question and say, look.
So you want them to lie?
You just say, look, all I'm worried about is the fact that we lost the game.
See, only in Boston.
That's not lying.
Only in Boston can the guy who answered the question be considered Bush League, but the guy who didn't try is not considered Bush League.
That's not why
he wears our colors.
That's not lying when
Fred's
you say.
Honest about that,
that's not lying when you say, hey, all I'm worried about is the fact that we lost.
But
that's not lying.
But he's not answering the question. He's not being honest.
Right. He decides. He's not.
That's being dishonest. He's not giving you his feelings. He's being dishonest. That's Bush League, but the guy who didn't try for 60 minutes, yeah, he's an upstanding professional.
Well, who said that?
I
think the world is on Randy Moss's case today.
Well, not the Boston world.
Are you kidding me, Paul?
Go on PatsFans.com and read the spirited defenses another.
There might be some defenses against some other Patriots fans.
Oh.
That's who's on that site,
I just
read
about a half hour's worth, and there's about three guys there ripping Randy Moss.
Yeah, and they're Patriots fans.
And 27 guys, one after another,
Paul,
ripping them.
It's Patriots fans. Who was booing in the stands on Sunday?
They were booing the team.
Oh.
Not just Moss. Moss was part of the team.
Think
they were getting booed as a
Paul,
team.
Paul, come on. Now you're being disingenuous.
Well,
was Moss getting booed?
Yes.
I think Moss was getting booed.
Absolutely.
But I think the team was getting booed.
Both.
I
at
think
times.
They were unhappy.
Yeah, but when
coming
Moss.
Coming off two straight losses,
when Moss,
things weren't like they wanted.
When Moss.
They didn't boo Moss.
When Moss lobster clawed that
they
pass.
They didn't boo then.
They were booing.
See, that's where you're wrong, because that happened in the second half, and there was no booing in the second half.
They were booing
The booing happened in the first half.
Paul, are you saying that there's not a lot of Patriots fans upset at Randy Moss today?
There aren't a lot.
Paul.
You're not online.
Talk about being dishonest.
Well, listen, I won't say, I can't tell you what everybody who I'm not hearing is saying. I'm telling you the PatsFans.com and the callers to EEI, for the most part, have been in defense of Randy Moss. That's what I'm
telling
you. Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm telling
you.
And you're one of them, by the way.
You must,
you're one of them who's not giving Randy Moss a hard time.
You must be listening during fairy...
Nothing. No response of nothing.
You must be listening during fairy tale time, because
well,
all I've been hearing...
I just read a whole thread that Andy pointed out to me, that Michael Holly said that he had this issue with Brady a month ago, and there was about 45 spirited defenses of Randy Moss, stat breakdowns, his yards per catch...
So you went to one website.
Pats. I know to find out what the line of Pats
fans
are thinking.
Right.
I made the sad mistake of going to Pats fans.
Right. Right,
which, by the way, is a very good message board.
Fans aren't stupid.
I can't ignore the fact that I use it for other things, and I'm going to disregard it for this one. It's a good gauge of what Patriots fans are thinking.
Okay, did you guys hear Ty Warren? Because I didn't hear it. I read it.
I didn't hear.
his comments about on whatever one he's on Monday, Patriots Monday show.
Now, I read the thing about Gary Guyton, but I didn't hear him say it.
Oh.
Gary Guyton came on Wednesday night to watch film?
No. I was questioning his comments about, I have children at home. I don't need to be taking care of 30-year-old men in the building. I'm not tugging on some guy's coattails to get him to play. Which
I didn't even read that.
I thought was really... Jason, see if you can find that for me, please. Sorry. Can you see if you can find that, those quotes from Ty Warren? Or do you have the audio? Why don't you play the audio?
Let me pull it. Because
then we'd have to play the whole thing.
No. Doesn't he have a little machine in there that cuts things up?
Wow.
Are you doubting Jason? You don't think Jason can get us a couple quotes from Ty Warren from broadcast that went over these airwaves?
I did find funny, though, he had mentioned Gary Guyton. And this is no slam at Ty. He had mentioned Gary Guyton came on Wednesday night to watch film. Adalys Thomas told us he went home, sat back, put his feet up, and watched a lot of film. What did everybody say yesterday? Instead of going home, sitting back, and putting your feet up, right, you should have come here and watched film. So Adalys Thomas watched his film. And by the way, Fred, the leaving the part out that you say that doesn't happen, they left that part out, that he watched film. And they pointed out the fact that Gary Guyton showed up.
Oh, always the defender of the player.
No,
always.
Well, there's two players involved here. I mean, it's all different players.
Did I defend Adalys Thomas last week, or did I agree with you?
No, you defended it. You said, I have no problem with what he did.
No. But did I... This is unbelievable. Did I not defend you and back your side of the argument, but that Bill was in the right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So how is that pro player?
But you said you had no problem with Adalys Thomas, what he said.
I have no problem with what he said. No.
Right.
I went home and watched film. I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with
that. But that's not because I'm defending the player. I think the player was wrong for not showing up on
time. Okay, but I have...
How's that defending the
player?
But
do you agree with how Adalys Thomas handled the situation?
No, not particularly.
Okay, I thought you did, so then I'm wrong. I thought you were okay with how he handled it.
No, I have no problem with his ability to sit and talk to the media. You think that he was wrong for talking to the media.
Okay,
that's where I disagree.
Well, wait a minute.
You.
Now you just said two things.
No, I don't have any problem with him defending himself. I have a problem with what he said, but I don't have any problem with him defending himself. If he wants to sit there and defend
now
himself.
Now you're really splitting hairs.
Well, all I know is I just defended Bill Belichick's decision to send him home,
right,
and you called me pro player. Talk about splitting hairs.
No, you're usually very
pro-player. That's splitting a rock, not a hair.
When it comes to management versus player, you always side on the player's side.
When the players are right.
You're mini Ron Borges.
When the players are right,
and you believe they're right
the
all the time.
More often than not in a league where there's no guaranteed contracts, yes, you're right.
Okay.
Only place with more infighting in the Patriots locker room is this radio studio.
Yeah,
right,
but we do that when we win Super Bowl, so that doesn't
That's
matter.
True. That is true.
That's true.
Let's see. Pat writes in, not Pat Patriot. I heard Chris Carter on SportsCenter talking about Randy Moss being sent home from practice last week for being late. I could hardly believe my ears when I heard him say that Bill Belichick had disrespected Mr. Moss by doing this. And then his next comment was even more unbelievable. He said, if this was Tom Brady, he wouldn't have been sent home. This coming from a guy like Chris, like Carter, is really hogwash. I see Irvin is chiming in on it also. Who are these guys? They were football players and not coaches. They always held themselves up above everybody else by the antics they pulled. They are retired now, and I notice that the NFL is going along just fine without them.
Wait a minute. Chris Gamble's not allowed to talk. Hall of Famers aren't allowed. Who's allowed to talk about the sport of football?
Thank you.
Who?
That's my point.
Chris Carter and Michael Irvin aren't allowed to talk about being prima donna wide receivers. Is there a greater expert on the planet?
I think that's what you want those guys to do.
Yes. Those are the guys who know exactly what's going on.
By the way, Paul, you had a lot of problem with your binky, Rodney Harrison, Sunday night.
Yeah. I don't understand how you can quit on plays but not have quit in the game.
Right.
Talk about splitting hairs.
Right.
He's a selfish jerk.
You were very upset with Mr. Harrison.
Yeah, because he's a guy who, in the 13 weeks that he's been doing this job, has made his bones being outrageous. He's been over the top. There's been no gray area with
him.
And all of a sudden, it's one of his boys, and he had a lot of gray area.
Because selfish jerk is T.O., right? That's what that quote's from.
Right.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
I had something else I wanted to say.
You want a little Ty Warren?
Sure.
Sure.
Tiny.
Absolutely. Me and Gary... talked a little bit last week, Wednesday night, watching film up there when he got, because he came back and watched film, obviously that night, because he was a big part of what we were going to be doing this past week, and he did a great job, and he came back and handled this stuff professionally.
Well, that clears it up. He was going to be a big part of what
they
did
that week.
I wanted
the one about,
do you want to give me my apology now?
Sorry, Paul. I wanted the one about he has kids at home. He doesn't need to take care of people.
I don't need to take care of 30-year-olds. And we got a Gary Guyton
tugging
post.
At coattails. We got the pro side. I wanted the side where he's saying there's babies in the locker room that need to be cuddled.
David, our lunch buyer today, writes in. All right,
happy birthday, David. Woo!
All right, Skipper Baldy, enormous head, sports doctor, in the male who wears those cute little sweater vests. With the Pats heading into the final weeks of must-win games, shall the Pats, and Fred, these are multiple-choice questions. Okay, so should the Pats, A, wow, there's a lot of these.
He bought lunch, Fred. Start
All right, I'll try. A, solidify the leaky secondary. B, find the third option. C, Brady's consistency. D, simmer that locker room's apprehensiveness. E, A and B. F, A and C. G, A and D. H, B and C. I, B and D. J, C and D. K, all of the above. L, none of the above.
Start with
See what I mean?
D, well, the locker room solidified.
Yeah. You got to start with the mental because the physical
yeah.
comes after that.
Yeah.
If no one's on the right page mentally,
yeah.
then they won't cover. They won't get to the quarterback.
You gotta have
they
them
won't
listening.
Catch balls.
You got to have them listening.
I'm sorry to worry anybody, but if you're worried about fixing something physically in week 14,
right.
it's too late. They're not playing well. This is what they are. They've
which,
played 13
which is
games.
Why you know who screwed up worse than Belichick? Us.
Well, that's true.
None of us said this team's not that talented.
I was certainly wrong.
This team is not that talented.
It's a good team. It's not a great team.
Exactly.
I thought it was great.
No one's on IR. No one's.
I thought it was a
great
team.
This is the team we were analyzing in August, and we all said Super Bowls and playoffs.
But, you know, it's funny
and
because
this.
We did say, what are they going to do on linebacker?
Yeah, but you we're know? All Mellings, but, and we but, just said, oh,
right.
he got Derek Burgess. Well,
right.
Mellings or Lemmings?
Lemmings.
Mellings, did you say?
I bet it's a word. Look it up. Somebody look
oh,
it up.
I remember
it's
what I was
word.
Going to say, by the way. On the late gate thing?
Fred, you can't call me out because you just kept right on going.
Oh,
like,
by the
I
way,
said the right word.
Did you hear Kevin Falk yesterday? I think he meant to say the word evident, and he said, that's elephant. And then he stopped himself and he goes, elephant. And he said it again.
I love Kevin. This is not necessarily a good example because Brady just had his baby the next day.
What's the baby's name?
He still hasn't named it. But if they were a normal circumstance, I think if Brady showed up at 8:09, he would not be sent home. That's just my opinion.
No, but this week would he be sent home?
Well, then
if
nobody would
If it had been
have.
Brady, Guyton, Burgess, and Thomas, we're all late this week, would he have been sent home?
No, I don't think so.
Hell no.
Well, actually, you disregarded the baby thing, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is not a good – because he came – I don't want that
Bill
to
would
be,
have had an out. He could have sent the other three and said,
that's
at least he had a baby
the
last
extenuating
night.
Circumstance of the baby. I'm talking normal circumstances, no baby issues. I don't think Brady gets sent home.
I think
don't.
He would have. I think Bill would have sent all four of them home.
Hell no.
And then he would have
It's one of those
Brady.
Hypotheticals that you
Hell
can't
no.
answer.
He would have yelled at him, Tom, remember when you used to compete for that parking spot? Rawr, get out of here.
I think the only way that would happen is if you called Brady the night before and said, listen, show up late, 10 minutes, I'm going to send you home.
Well, just so you know.
That's the only way I could see Brady
getting
sent home.
I kind of posed that as a possibility with Moss. I thought there was a chance.
But clearly, that's not what happened.
No, you know, I didn't know. I didn't know they were already in a feud that went back to the practice field a month. You got it, Doc, now, this one? I doubt it.
Three more weeks of regular season ball left. So, you know, time will tell, you know what I mean? And that's when, you know, when the leaders or the so-called leaders need to step up and do what they need to do as far as keeping everything you know, family-oriented and close-knit. And so, you know, time will tell. And, you know, we're all grown men. So, you know, so some people will take heed and maybe some people won't. We just got to find out who those people are. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be running around in the locker room pulling, you know, 30-year-old man coattails all the time. You know what I mean? You know, at some point.
Step up, be a professional.
Yeah, be a professional, man. I got kids at home. I ain't here to take care of nobody else. You know what I mean? So, that's why I feel about it.
Where was that recorded? In like a mausoleum or something?
Well, I want to know where the funny part
no,
was.
They
I
were,
thought that was a very strong, were. Serious quote. And
that's
all of
why
a sudden,
I wanted to hear
in the background.
What?
They were up in the club yesterday, so the little echo was from the speaker that they
different.
Had set up.
That was a strong
yep.
quote from
yeah.
Ty Warren.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, is not a guy that generally makes a lot of waves.
He doesn't have time. By the way, had a great game up until he got hurt.
Probably his best game of the season.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right, Fred.
But I do think
he and Will Fork were
talking to Randy Moss and everybody. The train is going on with or without you. Get on or get off. But
yeah. Who's going to be a man?
Right. Trouble is, I think the train has three less cars if Moss gets off. Are they going anywhere?
Speaking of
Moss?
Ty Warren, Adam writes in, just wondering what you thought of Ty Warren saying he thought Adelis Thomas was the one that leaked the later late-gate story. I think most people thought that, but just wondering if you think it shows that AD might not be that popular in the locker room, or if you think it's no big deal.
I didn't know that.
No, I do think it's a big deal. And
did he actually say he thought it was AD?
I don't know exactly the wording, but I saw written that Warren said that that's how it got out there in the first place. I don't know how or what the circumstances were, and I wouldn't want to have an overload of the brain in there to get that quote, but I did read that Warren was credited, quote-unquote credited, with having AD being the one, and we all have believed that from the start, that he was a guy that would do that, and based on his...
It's a little different for us than a player, A, to think it,
absolutely.
And B, to go public with his thoughts about it.
Absolutely, and you could make
cracks in the armor.
You could make an argument that we would still not have known about that. If whatever player had not made that public, we may not know about that even still. May not, I'm
we
saying.
We would have found out from AD because he would have been inactive potentially.
Yeah, but I'm saying
and
that's...
Then
but
Monday
Bill,
we would have asked him.
Bill never would have said anything, though.
No, but I think AD might have on Monday instead of Thursday. I think he would have addressed it. I think it would have played out differently.
Maybe he's not inactive if he didn't do that. We all agree that he wasn't inactive because he was late.
Calling Bill a liar?
He went with the players that gave him the best chance to win? Is that what you're asking about?
Well, if his mind's not right, then he's not going to help us.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah.
Proceed.
Yeah, I am, I guess. I mean, I think that he was inactive because of what he did off the field after the meeting.
Right.
Between talking on Thursday, between other stuff that may or may not have happened at practice and meetings and whatnot, we were told that there was some... That was just the tip of the iceberg, right?
Just the tip.
So... If he hadn't said anything, maybe none of that other stuff happens.
Maybe.
Bob writes in yesterday's program on ESPN on the NFL, Trent Dilfer specifically went over the Patriots offense to break it down why the Patriots offense had suddenly become predictable. Dilfer, a former NFL QB, pointed out that Josh McDaniels in 07 and 08 had the Patriots in various sets and player combinations that allowed more variety, and that in 09, because Josh was no longer there, this was not the case, and thus the predictability by the defense in knowing what is coming. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to interpret this as a slapdown of Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator. My question is O'Brien qualified for his job, in your opinion, and is it time for Belichick to take over calling the plays?
Bill O'Brien is more qualified for his job this year than Josh McDaniels was in the same job.
When he started.
Yes.
Yeah, that could possibly.
He's been in the league. He's called plays at the college level as an offensive coordinator. I think he's qualified.
I mean, remember when Josh started, everybody, the same thing. He's too young. He's never done it.
And remember, Josh may be better. That may be the bottom line. Just because O'Brien, I think, is qualified to be in the role he's been given doesn't mean he's a better coach. I'm just saying... He wasn't just thrown out there. This guy is older than people think he is. We looked it up one day, Paul. He's like...
He's 78, isn't he?
No, but he's in his 40s. He's got an extensive college background as a coordinator.
Right.
As a play caller. He's been here for a couple years. He's seen the offense from a couple different positions. I know people here were very high on him the minute he got here. Somebody told me, quote, that guy is overqualified for the role he's in, and he won't be in it for very long.
Okay.
That's what I was told about him.
There you go.
So people who knew right away.
Look.
And by the way, when it's going well, how come it's Bill's scheme and
with
Bill's offense? And when it's going bad, it's the other guy's
with
fault.
A couple exceptions this year, I have no problem with the play calling. I remember criticizing Charlie Weiss. I have no problem.
Only when it's bad.
I can't honestly say any problem this year that they're having is due to play calling. I just don't have the expertise.
Well,
I guess.
Right. I don't know. But
yeah.
I just think the bottom line is Bill gets what he wants on both sides of the ball.
Such an easy out for fans, to blame. The
he's like five
offensive
feet away from Bill O'Brien. You don't think if he doesn't like something, he's not going to express that to Bill O'Brien?
Right.
I think the Trent Dilfer thing is two different things too. Dilfer is talking about all the different personnel groupings and packages that they used under Josh McDaniels, and they're not using them now. Well, why is that?
They don't have them.
They don't have those guys for the personnel packages. Dante Stallworth isn't here. Jabari Gaffney's not here. They don't have the ability to put
Larry Bird isn't walking through that door.
The same kind of packages on the field that they've had in the past. It's pretty simple. They're dealing with Julian Edelman and Sam Aiken.
Right.
You're not going to get the same amount of – they tried that the first six games of the year. They tried doing that, and Brady, for the first time, said, we can't be that offense. We have to change. Now we got to grind it out. But back then it was – we tried to be a 3-4 receiver offense. It didn't work. In the Jets game, we realized that a lot of that stuff didn't work. So that's not Bill O'Brien's fault. Now, the second part of it is Bill O'Brien maybe not doing a great job because he's not experienced? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't. Maybe he's not as good as Andy said. Maybe he's just not as good as McDaniels was at having a feel for calling a game. Maybe that's true. I don't know that for sure.
How would we know?
But I can't blame Bill O'Brien for lack of imagination and creativity in terms of his personnel groupings. He's putting the only offensive players the team has on the field with Falk, Maroney, Welker, Moss, and Watson. I mean, that's all your options that you have.
Right.
You can't sit there and trot out. A number of different personnel groups when you don't have it.
And when you have guys learning, you know, maybe Jabbar Gaffney was far greater intellectually than we ever gave him credit for. That's my guess, since he came in mid-year and all of a sudden became a key playmaker.
Right.
Brady fell in love with him almost immediately. But Isaiah Stanbeck, Julian Edelman, and Sam Aiken, maybe they're not all capable of learning X, Y, and Z. Literally, X, Y, and Z, learning different positions so that you can move guys around and be diverse, quote-unquote, on offense.
Right, right.
They have two guys that they can be diverse with. One's a slot receiver, one's an outside big play guy who may or may not be trying anymore. There's only so many options at the offense coordinator's hands. I mean, Ben Watson, we've seen him line up incorrectly enough to say, I'm not sure I want to be throwing too much on Ben Watson's plate.
He's clearly a guy you don't want to throw too much on his plate.
He's always in the wrong position. Which, can we get back to that for the Carolina Panthers?
He's the diminishing
returns. Has there ever been a team that couldn't line up on offense like they could?
More illegal shifts in formation.
They had 100 yards and penalties almost.
I mean, stop doing it.
Right.
Just stop doing it. If you can't do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
I think the rain really screwed them up. It doesn't rain in South Carolina.
9 for 92.
South Carolina.
Whatever the hell they are.
They moved. They're not Cox.
First year they played in South Carolina, I believe.
Yeah,
they did at Clemson.
Strippers wants to know about Ron Brace. Is he hurt or does he stink?
Was not on the injury report last week. Andy?
So he stinks? He's not hurt. I think he's a guy that, like what we just talked about, has struggled with the mental. When I talked to him a little bit, he talked about they want him to learn all the positions inside out, this and that. I think he has struggled with the mental aspects. And remember, they're doing a lot of 3-4, 4-3, inside, outside, you know, Will Forks in, Will Forks out. I think he has struggled with the versatility. I think Pryor didn't, and that's where you immediately saw him get ahead.
Yeah.
Is mentally he was able to, as in camp went on a week or so, every time they added something, Pryor got it, Brace didn't. Not surprising, one's playing and on the radar, one really isn't.
Struggling.
Titus.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and Internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
PFW in progress on Patriots.com with Jake Steele. Portly Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and Andy the Idiot Hart. Online and out of bounds at Patriots.com.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. Doc says he's got the clip of Ty calling out AD, so why don't we hear that?
Go, Ty. Ooh, that was a cold, cold cut.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's coming off the same machine.
I don't know what that means, but
he had to stop the music and
so
play.
So how do you think he got out, in your opinion?
Well, obviously, a daily is for the out.
So, no sugar coat.
Isn't that what happened?
That sure feels that way, doesn't it?
I thought I'd ask.
Because that's what we said.
That's
said
my theory.
Thing.
My theory is that he's
I think
out
a lot
there.
Of folks think that.
But that's what I heard. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, I think that puts guys in a pretty bad position, though. I mean, I think if it's not just him involved, if he's the only guy who's sent home and he wants to tell people that, hey, I got sent home. But if there are four guys who get sent home, and they're probably embarrassed anyway, you know, and then somebody else puts it out there, it makes their whole it brings
it snowballs, in, man. Yeah, everybody just, starts speculating.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to dig deeper and see, all right, you know, just like the deal with Tiger, you know, it's a car wreck, and then people want to dig deeper. You know, what led to that?
I was with him too.
Yeah,
me too.
You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. People speculate. They want to know more about what's going on, especially when you have an organization that really much never gets leaked out, you know.
All right, well, so there you go. But I think he was just saying what other people have already heard.
Yeah, it started off pretty definitive, and then he kind of went, well, that's certainly what it seems like.
Right.
Michael Hawley made me laugh because he said, I had to ask, but the rest of that would have been, I didn't think you'd tell me, but I had to, like, I would have been stunned if he just flat out said Adalys Thomas. That's stunning to me.
Yeah. Obviously, Adalys put it out there. He said.
By the way, in a similar way, I know he's already an expatriate, so we can just stomp on his grave, but I'm not sure Ty Warren should be saying that to continue the story to fuel the fire.
Well,
I don't know, man. How do those things get out there? Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, isn't that just kind of adding more to it, another step in the process?
I guess. Let's see. Warren wants to know about the playoff seedings. Do you think the Pats can get the number 3 seed? And who do you prefer they play in a divisional game, the Colts or Chargers?
Yes, they can get the 3 seed, and I would rather play the – well, that's a toss-up. I think I'd rather play the Colts than the Chargers.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably. I'd rather play the Colts.
I think that anytime you can avoid that cross-country trip, I think it's better. But they can get the 3 seed fairly easily.
Right.
I mean – Cincinnati's got San Diego this week, so if they were to lose, now you're even with them, and you got 2 games to play if you can win. You know, you have a chance to get in front of them, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Patriots have the tiebreaker edge on Cincinnati. if that would be the case. If they lose to San Diego, I think the Patriots would have a tiebreaker edge. So you can get three. I don't think it matters much, three or four, to be honest with you. I don't think that really is
right now you can get a lot of things, including in early January.
Well, like, yeah.
I think there's a spectrum. I'm still not sold. I feel like I just did it a week earlier. I have no idea what I'm going to get. You could tell me 0-4. I wouldn't be stunned. You could tell me they'd win the next three and go 4-0 down the stretch. I wouldn't be stunned. 2-2. No. It's all fair game.
Well, you know,
it really is.
Matty Moore was in the game, just like I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has a chance to be in the game.
You bring
just
up
like
a good point.
All of them. David Garrard, Matt Schaub.
I still think the Patriots are going to win the division, but the biggest reason that I think that is I don't think Miami or the Jets is capable of winning out.
Well, the Jets still have to play the Colts, right?
Yeah.
So
they have Atlanta, Indy, and Cincinnati. Right? But that's the big thing. That might be a game that they can win that 3-4 weeks ago they would have had no shot at winning.
True. Let's see. Donald writes
in. Shut down Curtis Painter, you win.
This team doesn't seem to have heart. They don't look hungry. Our Patriots are supposed to be hungry. Aside from that, it looks to me, and I don't get to see every game in Marietta, Georgia, as though this coaching staff lacks imagination. Against the Colts in the second half, the Colts front seven just pinned their ears back and attacked with no regard for the run. Yet, O'Brien called only a single draw play. Talent alone is never enough to consistently win in the NFL. It takes imagination and innovation as well. We've been susceptible to the big play, but Pease never changes the two-gap play of the D-line, whether in the 3-4 or the 4-3. The two-gap system is designed to be a contained front.
Designed by who?
And relies on coverage to be very good. It is great for a team like the Steelers because you need to keep Ben in the pocket. Against the Colts, you're just insisting on Manning doing what he wants to do anyway. Why can't you change things up some and have some guys shoot the gap now and then? In the past, our Patriots coaching staff was known for putting players in position to make plays. I'm not too sure that is happening this season.
This is a perfect example of an email. The two-gap is designed by Pease? No. Pease comes here and runs the system Bill Belichick has had in place since he had a system to put in place
since
ever
he stole
in his
it from
life.
Chuck Fairbanks.
Right. That's the it's Bill Belichick. So if the criticism, fine. Go with whatever you want. Stop two-gapping. Start shooting the gap. All that crap. But remove the name Dean Pease from that email and put Bill Belichick in there. It's
now,
his system.
Now, I'll add in terms of, I 100% agree with what Andy just said, but I would also add, you don't just completely overhaul your system in the middle of the season. Their defense is based on two-gap principles. You don't sit there and say, well, you know what? Screw that. We're just going to just go after the quarterback. Just shoot gaps and do that. Now, they've blitzed a lot this year. They've blitzed more this year than they have in the past. Problem is, they haven't been overly effective with the blitz. They've been getting picked up, number one. On offense, on Sunday, no draws? How many runs out of the shotgun? Yeah, those are draws. Right. Inside handoffs are a form of a draw.
That's right.
They ran the ball 40 times on Sunday.
Right.
How many more times were they supposed to have run it?
Right.
I mean, they ran for 185 yards.
It's execution. It's right. Not the play calling.
At some point, you're just not that good.
Well, that's a mental. We know that the players are unstable right now. A lot of players, not just Moss and Springs.
Not as unstable as me and Fred.
But yeah, that's true. And I have this little theory that
he's the stable one.
There's a lot of guys on this team that are new, different, turnover. It's been the story of the year. And we all said this was a great team, right? Even Vegas. So all these guys heard we're going to be the best team in football.
Right.
They're not, by any measure.
Right.
And on some level, Bill Belichick is responsible for that, right?
Right.
He's made some coaching decisions, some fourth down decisions, various decisions that have played a part in losing football games.
Sure.
I think there's a lot lack of faith there. The old guys that said, you know, Bill always puts us in the right position to win are gone. And I think some of the new guys are saying, you know, I've heard the stories about this guy, but from my experience, he's a 7-5 coach who's keeping us really near 500.
That's what I was getting at early in the show when I said he's not really surrounded by a lot of guys
right.
that have won a lot more than he has.
I think Sean Springs is saying,
Belichick's
overrated.
Sean Springs has been on this team before.
Right.
It was in Washington. It was in Seattle.
Right. He's saying this guy's no different than XYZ coach I had previous.
Right. It's particularly when it comes
because what does Bill say? What you did for me last week, last month, last year is irrelevant. So if these players use that mentality, Bill Belichick is now an 8-5 football coach.
You know,
that's a little bit above average.
When it comes to play time, every athlete, I mean, I remember in high school, you guys probably remember too, when you don't think you're getting enough time, whatever the sport is, you know, you start to get a little frustrated. And you know, it goes back to, you know, when they had those guys in the locker room, you wouldn't complain about it openly. I'm sure right. you're still, you know, back then, Sean Springs would have been just as mad as he is now, but Rodney Harrison would be telling him to shut the hell up.
Because Rodney Harrison had right. the ultimate faith in whatever Bill did. Bill could have walked into a meeting, threw up double birds at the team and flipped him off, and Rodney Harrison would have said, genius.
Right.
Just genius. That's what we needed that week.
Right.
But you know what? These guys don't see that because they haven't seen the genius. They're only seeing the, we're getting out coached. We're get, you know, I made the decision I thought was in the best interest of our team. I thought we could win the game. We didn't. So the decision he made wasn't the right one. And that I think that's a problem if you have all, you know, the communication issues that we've talked about in the past were one thing when they were winning games. Now players don't like the communication and they don't have faith that the whatever's going on is going to lead to victory.
We were talking earlier about why did all of a sudden James Sanders return to the lineup. Mike Reese has his analysis. One noticeable change from the Patriots, he talks about what we talked about. Defensive coordinator Dean Pease said the Patriots played more zone coverage than they have in recent weeks, and that contributed to Sanders' presence on the field. Belichick cited Sanders' experience, communication, and ability to adjust as factors that led to his increased playing time. Mike's analysis is this seemed to be a case where the Patriots fell victimized in the passing game the last 2 weeks against the Saints and Dolphins. As the veteran of the secondary in terms of experience in the system, Sanders is a calming, communicative presence, and it looked like the coaches felt he could help eliminate some of the struggles the secondary was having. Fellow safety Brandon McGowan had wrestled Sanders' starting job away from him in week two, but it now appears as if Sanders has it back.
That's what we said. The communication, the calming, which is what our analysis has always been of Sanders. He's not going to make you a ton of plays, but he's probably not going to give up a ton of plays either. And Bill decided they weren't making enough plays already and they were giving up too many. Might as well put them in.
Good Caesar,
I planted those questions, though.
Made
sure some reporters asked those in the conference call.
Caesar from Pleasanton, California, about the seeding, says that San Diego has a two-game lead over the Pats in the conference. No way the Pats get the number three seed.
What?
San Diego is the number two seed. The right. question was about number three seed.
Right. Well, that's what he said, that no way they get the number three seed. That's what he said.
No.
San Diego was the two seed.
I know.
They're chasing Cincinnati for the three seed.
I understand, but Caesar doesn't – he thinks that they're chasing still San Diego for the number three seed.
Such an
so then who's the number two seed?
Will you explain to him that San Diego is the two?
You have to have a two seed,
not
the three.
Caesar doesn't.
No. You're wrong, Fred. Cincinnati right now is the three seed. San Diego's the two. We're the four.
Right.
We're trying to catch Cincinnati for the three, not San Diego for the three.
I know that.
But why do you keep saying it wrong?
Because Caesar wrote it that San Diego has a two-game lead.
They do.
That's what he wrote, and that they can't catch him for the number three.
But San Diego is the two seed.
I understand that, but Caesar wrote
they also can't catch since Indianapolis for the three seed.
But we're
trying to correct Caesar, and you keep repeating it incorrectly.
Right.
We're trying to catch Cincinnati for the three, not San Diego.
I understand that.
So
I stop
side
saying
with Fred on this.
No, don't side with Fred. No one's chasing San Diego.
Tell Caesar that, not me.
We're trying to, but you keep repeating that they're chasing San Diego for the three. We're trying to correct the email.
Are we chasing Indy for the three seed, too?
Yeah, I guess.
Apparently. We can't catch them for the three either, Paul.
What the hell are you guys?
You have to have a one
now.
And a two before you can have a
Doc,
three.
I'm just reading what the email said.
We understand.
Yeah, you don't always do that. Sometimes you actually clean them up when they're mistaken.
We understand that you're reading the email. We're trying to – I think the email got confused. We were talking about the three seed, not San Diego. Those are two different things.
Right, but you're yelling at Fred like he made
because
the
he
point.
Keeps repeating the mistake
does.
That the guy made. We're trying to correct it, not
just say
not
right.
perpetuate it.
Don't say no, say right.
Right. Right.
Thank you.
Next topic.
Hey, hey, hey.
Gay.
Now people don't have any idea what we're talking about because they think we're wrong. But that's okay. Right. Right.
They're stupid anyway, Paul.
That's true.
Let's see. What's this? Kevin writes in. Hey, Andy.
This is the jerk from Reading.
For once, I agree with you. Piggybacking off John from Dallas's phone call, I think we are not vertical at all. The pure athlete is missing from this team in the volume in which we had it in the past. I have the answer. Trade up and get Sue from Nebraska. He could play interior line. He could play outside pass rusher and even some linebacker, not to mention tight end or fullback. This guy is a stud.
Safety, too. He is a stud. That's why he may go number one
all
overall.
All of a sudden, he's like – Everybody's
talking. Huge game.
But he had a huge game, and fans are talking about him, but he's been number one on Mel Kiper's board all year.
And
well, for a lot of the, I should say all year.
Still not number one on the Pro Football Weekly, I believe.
What's his face? McShay has him at three, I think, or something like that. So, I mean, he's
no.
Pretty much a top five guy.
No, I'm talking about defensive tackle. Pro Football Weekly believes Gerald McCoy is the best defensive tackle.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That Sue is not even the best defensive lineman in this draft.
I haven't seen that, but...
So, and it'll change three times between now and draft weekend.
Oh, there you go.
Because we'll find out that he once tried to do something...
Todd McShay has Sue number one and McCoy is number three on his defensive... no, that was a flat-out top five picks. McShay has him one now. I thought he had him three before. It's funny that just right as we were talking about it, it popped right up on ESPN. Yeah. Eric Berry, safety out of Tennessee, who I don't know. I don't know him. Number two he has going to the Bucs.
You know what I think about
Derek
safety's
Morgan,
high,
by the
Paul.
Way. I would take Derek Morgan, even though he's supposed to be the fourth pick of the draft. We'll be picking around 20.
Well, you can get wherever you want to get.
Especially
you
with
get
the, amount it, the amount of ammunition they have. They have two ones and three twos.
Plus
something
the
like
011.
No, they have one one this year. It's two ones
right.
next year.
Plus an 011. You can trade that.
Let's see. Luca writes, and James Sanders and Springs are just piece of a higher plan as Bill has made. Just kidding. Brady should have a male bonding day with Randy, and they should go on a roller coaster.
Bonding or bondage?
But seriously, he should tell him one-on-one that he is his guy and just throw it deep into double coverage like Warner does with Fitz. Pure confidence like Brady to Moss in Miami in 2007.
I'm getting my ass another funnel cake.
Well, wow. He did do the exact opposite in the game. You want assault? Welker.
I would argue that he's thrown the ball to him too many times.
You could argue it.
Let's see.
But I will argue that unless Randy Moss is committed to this team moving forward, you got no chance.
You think Moss comes out and catches like three or four passes in the first quarter Sunday and all of a sudden he has a big game?
Well, I was thinking that...
I think of Moss like I think of the team. How the hell
How
would
do I
know?
I was thinking that, you know, you were talking about the bad weather and if we're looking for big games for Moss, it may not come until Houston.
Right.
I was thinking you do try to work him in with some short passes. I know he's not good after the catch in those areas, but just to get his hands on the ball, I don't know.
Yeah, but...
Caesar, by the way, writes back and says, I did make a mistake.
No, you didn't. Fred said you were right.
Fred said you were right, Caesar. Don't worry about it.
Did I say Caesar was right?
I didn't think so.
No,
are you really going to turn to Doc
you
as your ally?
You just repeated it.
Is that your ally? Because if you want to align yourself there, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Caesar, no worries, my friend. Fred screwed it up. You had it right.
You make a great salad. Nothing like
it's
a good Caesar.
It really is.
When you get the little anchovy thing or whatever on top and the real cheese that they shave off.
Mike from Charlotte writes in, we'll never know what Brady said to Moss on the sideline, but it looks like he was screaming at him. I don't recall Moss screaming at Brady when he was overthrowing everyone early in the year. There have been plenty of plays this year where Moss was open and Brady did not hit him or even see him. Brady needs to have a little longer memory and realize that he has not exactly been stellar all year.
Who is this?
Mike from Charlotte. I agree Moss looked like he was dogging it, but Brady screaming at him in front of the camera is not the right approach.
I didn't see him screaming, first of all.
I thought he was trying to pump him up.
He was. Yeah. I thought. But I didn't see screaming. I didn't see that.
And by
the
way,
guy who made
overthrowing
it a
guy is not the same as taking a playoff.
Right.
One
or a game.
Yeah.
Or a month,
but
depending on how you look at
it. The guy who made it a spectacle was Moss by sitting there sulking with his helmet on the opposite bench. So anything that comes after that came after Moss made it a spectacle.
I'm at a loss for
You think that guy really believes that or just wants
no,
to,
No, I think
you
he
know,
wanted to see if he could get my head to come off
differing
my
opinion.
And it almost worked.
Let's see. Warren says, Caesar was definitely wrong, but I'll let him slide since he is the third seed at the moment, full stop.
No, we got to try and catch Indy for the third seed.
I think if we can catch Jacksonville for the third seed, we'd be all right.
The Raiders.
Jonas writes in, and this was
What's
something
up, brother?
He wrote in a couple days ago about how the Dallas webmaster, I guess, for the Cowboys got into a little bit of an exchange with Florio. On Pro Football Talk about being objective, and I guess they had a one-on-one with Flozell Adams, you know. And
Florida was even questioning whether it was a one-on-one.
Yeah, an exclusive one-on-one. Meanwhile, Adams has talked to other people, so it can't be that exclusive. But, you know, the guy from the Cowboys, Eatman, I think his name is, something like that, he was very upset that, you know, some people were questioning the, you know, veracity of the, you know, whether or not it was house organ or not, which, hey, it is. You know, it's the
Imagine
Cowboys.
If we got upset for that?
Just like we're the Patriots. You know, you have to have a thick skin when you do what we do, because when it comes to football, we try to be objective. But bottom line is
LRC.
We work for the team, you know, so we're going to be questioned on everything we do, and you just got to deal with it.
And Jonas brought up, I'm glad that he showed that. I hadn't seen it, and I'm glad he pointed it out to us. The tenor of the story was basically just a string of Flozell Adams quotes defending his behavior, saying how he thought the whistle had blown in that game. The play that they were talking about was the late hits against the Giants. And he's a dirty, dirty player, Flozell Adams. He's constantly in trouble for questionable play.
He had that one trip where he...
He's hurt a number of guys with trips. And he's a dirty player. And the story, rather than presenting any kind of a balanced view, and I'm not talking about an editorial, I'm talking about just state the facts that, you know, he hit a guy well after the whistle and stuff like that. None of that was there. It was all Flozell Adams' quotes defending himself with nothing on the other side, and that's what Florio was calling him out on. And that's where you get in trouble, and that's, I think, those kinds of things make us look bad, because that's how everybody perceives house organs, which we're called all the time. And listen, that's what we are. We make no bones about it. We work for the team. You know what you get coming straight up, from the start. But
the only people that don't think we're a house organ,
it's the house. Right.
Yeah, everybody outside of this building thinks that, well, we can't really be taken seriously because we work for the team. But the people in here, the team itself, think that, you know, we do a balanced job.
Enemy number one.
And they don't want us to be doing a balanced job.
I mean,
PFW and friends.
Let's face it. No one really is objective.
No.
No. You know, that's the thing that I found out the most in the 10 years that I've been working here.
Real media.
Is the real media, quote unquote, as Andy just said. No, everybody has an agenda.
That's right.
Biases.
It all depends on which side it is.
That's right. Henry from Maine says, first four possessions Sunday, four and out, punt, interception, fumble. Losing games late, not being able to close, making questionable coaching decisions. Those problems we have talked through and come to terms with. But a month ago, we had an offense that could kick the crap out of bad teams like Carolina. What the hell happened?
I don't know. A key part of that offense.
I think Randy Moss decided he wasn't playing that day.
Don't disregard the cold either, because I know
it was raining, but it was
a crappy day.
Yeah. It was a crappy, crappy day.
Like crappy days.
No, he doesn't play well. And I also would say that he did play well in a snowstorm against Tennessee, but the Tennessee and the Tampa games, to me, are the only two games that qualify as to what he just explained. I think that every other game has been flawed.
By the way,
wins and losses.
Current weather prediction for Orchard Park is around 30 degrees, 30% chance of snow.
Oh, that's not bad. This is going to be another one of those flights home.
But you know the lake effect, and all of a sudden you're in a blizzard for an hour, you know?
What about the wind?
Yeah, I don't know about the wind. But about 30%.
That's the big key to the passing game, because
I
don't care who you are. That wasn't Randy Moss's fault last year that they couldn't make any catches. Him and Welker didn't do anything in that game.
For a game without a lot of offense, or really any, that was one of the more fun games to watch, because you just didn't know when
you didn't know, have any idea what was going to happen.
I never saw field goals take right turns the way it did on that day.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Nothing was to be taken. There was no such thing as field goal range in that game. It was surreal.
I've never seen anything like it. Nathan writes in.
Nate.
Hey, guys, Gay and Chi-Chi's.
Who's Chi-Chi's? What does that mean?
Well, I assume one is Eric and maybe Chi-Chi's is me and you. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, after watching the game on Sunday, there is no question that our team isn't on the same page and we aren't playing up to our potential. It is my thought that we have as good of talent as anybody in the league, with the exception of outside linebacker that can rush the passer. Having said that, the difference is that players on both sides of the ball are not playing to their potential. Do you think after dominating the Colts and playing an incredible game, then losing the way we did could have been what sucked the win out of our players' sails? Is it possible some may think that no matter what we do, and if we play our best, other teams might still find a way to beat us? After that Colts game, it appears that the Patriots are not having fun when they play, but are frustrated. I want the team who has fun when they play, and Brady to go up to players after a win, like Smith from the Steelers in 07, and say, guaranteed win, bitch, not this time. I want the Patriots with swagger, confidence, and even a little, careful, Andy, cockiness.
That's cockiness.
What do you think of that?
I don't think they're having fun at all. And I think a lot of guys have tried to make them have fun. This week it was Brandon Merriweather and James Sanders were crossing their arms, doing a little dance. I think they're trying to create emotion and enjoyment that isn't there, and I don't think you can fake it.
But at the same time, I think even if they had beaten the Colts on that game, in that game, it might have given a little momentum, but the flaws that we're seeing are truly flaws.
Well, an ass-whooping by the Saints would have been an ass-whooping by the Saints.
I agree with you 1,000%, Fred. And here's, I have a couple of things that I wanted to add on this, because I think there was two different things said there, that, and one of which I agree with and one of which I don't. I don't think they're as talented as every other team in the league, number one. And I'll say this. I feel like they did lose a little wind out of their sails the way they lost the Colts game, but the emailer used a phrase, they dominated the Colts and still lost. Well, let's just say, for argument's sake, like Fred said, they won 34-28. Doesn't that kind of prove to you that maybe you're not as good as you think you are? Yes, you dominated the Colts that night and
barely won.
You almost barely won.
Right.
Because I think they did outplay the Colts for 58 minutes, and they were up 34-28. They outplayed the Colts and were up by 6 points. That tells me they're not as good. Tell me the guys that you think are underachieving on this team.
Well, I was just going to say, you made Peyton Manning punt the ball 7 times, his team. That
and
should
you
be
still
a blowout.
Only won by 6 points if you had indeed held on to win.
Wait, what do you mean by underachieving?
Who do you think isn't playing up to his ability?
His ability.
I would say there's a handful of
Well, I don't
of
know
guys.
What that
I
means,
say,
but I would say Brandon Merriweather. I would say Derek Burgess. I would say Lawrence Maroney. I would say Ben Watson. Guys that I think could be difference makers.
Wait a minute now. You don't think that all those guys are that good to begin with.
But that's what I mean. I don't know exactly what potential
that
playing
you sound
up
like
to.
Me
no,
right
but what,
now.
What I'm saying is
I don't think they're that good, but I think all of us coming in this year thought those guys
that's
would contribute
what I
at a higher level than they did.
That's what I think.
Well, I think that's what Bill thought.
Well, I don't have any problem. I didn't ask that question to necessarily get in an argument over who's underachieving or overachieving. I'm saying I don't think there's a big long list of guys that you could sit there and say, well, you know what? If A, B, C, and D were playing up to their capabilities, this would be a totally different story. If Derek Burgess was playing up to his capabilities, how much of a difference would that make?
Well, what's his capabilities? If it's the guy that had 16 and a half sacks,
that was 2 years ago.
No, but what's the best you could have expected out of him? Maybe 8 or 10 sacks?
I don't know. Don't you think they thought he was going to be a pass rusher? Like he'd be an impact guy?
I didn't want to have this be an argument. Or
but like Joey Galloway, I'd include him in that category. He's not even on the team.
Benjamin Watson,
and I think people penciled him in for like 45 catches and plays.
Benjamin Watson, to me, has exceeded expectations, not lived up to them. I don't think he's dropped a pass since the first week.
But the bottom line is, on a team that has no third option, you have a first-round pick tight end who's not really a third option.
But
Right. So wherever you start the process of evaluation, however far back you go and start decreasing the expectations, I think there's a litany of guys.
I don't think he's capable of being a third option. I guess that's
why
I said.
Well, he's clearly not.
I think.
But when you draft him in the first round, that's what he was.
6 years ago you drafted him in the first
round.
I'm not disappointed about that anymore.
I still think when people said coming into this season, they're going to have a great offense because they got Brady, Moss, and Welker.
Yeah.
And, you know, they added Galloway. They still have Watson.
I know. But
they don't have anybody.
I think the Galloway one is
the problem
with that.
When you talk about Watson, they've had 6 years to make up for that.
Right. And they knew that he wasn't a third option this year. He's not playing up to capability.
People thought he was going to contribute. I don't think he really has. Somebody's got to catch touchdowns. Somebody's going to score some plays, but has he been a difference maker?
No. I don't think he's a difference maker player.
He's won games for them.
I don't think he's a difference making player.
But that's
I don't think they thought he was coming
See,
into
I don't
this
either,
year.
But I just think all those guys have underachieved.
Coming into this
Brandon
year,
Merriweather, I think,
we
has
not say
he was going to be an all
camp.
Pro. He was an all pro.
Did we not say in training camp that Watson could get cut?
Yeah.
Before we knew that Alex Smith wasn't going to get cut, and
we thought that. Yeah,
but
that's
he's part of the sum. Well, see, I don't think a lot of people thought that. I think we may have, but I don't think a lot of people.
I think he thought it.
Yes,
he might have. Well, he's been at, just like we've seen him drop every ball. He's dropped every ball. He knows what's happened.
And I also my point.
Chris
I
Baker.
Guess,
we all had Chris Baker as a red zone target.
We
he's done nothing.
Alex Smith. Chris Baker.
I think Chris Baker is.
I think the people that were
Dave
Thomas were us and Bill Belichick.
They traded him.
Oh, that's
not his fault.
Right, John Rook?
Dave Thomas.
Absolutely. We overrated this team just like Bill
did. But going into this
year,
we're like, well, Dave Thomas was hurt. He's got great hands. We're looking forward to a good season.
I guess the overall point that I'm trying to make is I don't think that they're in this situation because they've had a lot of bad years from key players. I think they have had some. I think Derek Burgess is a great example. To a lesser extent, I agree with Andy about Merriweather. I think that the good games, I think we would have expected in year 3 to be more consistent.
But Adalys Thomas.
We thought Mayo.
We expected Adalys more from Thomas. Adalys Thomas.
We were hoping Mayo would be more of a
playmaker. Expected
certainly
big plays.
Expected more from yeah. Adalys Thomas. Mayo, I think, has been a disappointment, but
Mayo's had an excuse, though. He's been hurt.
Yeah.
Well, when did he? I mean, he's not on the injury report.
I think that's part of it.
But he has been. And
I know he had
John
an injury,
but my point is, I
at
don't
think he took care of that.
At what point is that us making excuses for a guy because he's not as good as he's supposed to be?
You're right.
He's not Patrick Willis.
I'm actually going to agree with you.
That's why I don't think he's been that far below expectation. I think he's, as you say, he's a hair away from a tackling machine.
He's London Fletcher.
He's
I didn't know we drafted London
guys.
Fletcher 10th overall.
He's
going to
give you 120 tackles every year.
A serious turn for the negative maybe, late in the show.
But I don't mean that to be a negative. I'm trying to point out that I think I just grossly overrated the talent of this team preseason.
Everybody did.
But I can only put it on myself because I can't speak for everybody else.
Virtually unanimous.
I don't.
There's
think
nobody
been,
on earth that didn't think the Patriots weren't one of the four best teams in football.
If you had told me before the year that they were going to be in a dogfight to win the division, I would have said, "Wow, that means Brady didn't respond from his knee injury." And I think he did. I think he's been he was rusty and had some ups and downs and whatnot. But I think you can't ask for more than he's given.
I agree with. But the rest
I would have thought that would be responsible for 8-5 after 13 games, and it hasn't been.
Yeah. Or injuries to the linebackers because we all thought they would be thin.
They haven't had a ton of injuries
this
year, period. Yeah. They've had guys miss games and play at less than 100%. But they haven't lost key guys for the season the way a lot of other teams have.
They've had healthy guys being active from the linebacking core.
Once in a while.
You know, Taylor and Morris have been hurt, but the running, that really didn't seem to be the factor.
We thought they'd be hurt.
Yeah.
We thought they had three and two would be out there most of the time.
That's why we thought it was such a good situation because even if you get injuries, you have enough guys. And they did.
Right.
They didn't suffer from a lack of a running back. In my opinion, not one game all year.
No.
So we all equally had as bad a year as Bill Belichick assessing this team.
We did.
I'd say that's fairly accurate. Yeah.
We all sucked.
So did Vegas.
We all did.
We got to analyze better. Vegas, we got to coach better. We got to play better.
Yeah, coach him better.
And I say
gotta
that.
Got to analyze him better.
That's right.
I say that regardless of what
starts
happens
with
from
me.
Here on in.
How do I do my job? We got to look in the mirror.
Even if they win it
spell
all,
check.
It's now to a point where you're upsetting teams.
Right. Ignore it. Sometimes.
You know, you're not walking in and saying, "Well, you know, Patriots are a 7.5-point favorite today against the San Diego Chargers." That's not going to happen.
Right.
They have to upset teams.
Hey, John. In February, we're hosting a football clinic for mostly high school coaches.
On the 7th?
And the national champ head coach will be there, Nick Saban.
Really?
Yeah.
They haven't played the game yet.
They haven't played the game yet.
Very good.
Bulletin board material.
So what happens if Texas wins, then what do you do for Nick Saban?
He'll
How
still
do you
be
introduce
there.
Him?
He'll still be there.
Mac Brown available?
We don't accept people who lucked into the title game.
Oh, okay. That's coming from a guy who I actually went against his pick of taking the Patriots in the 13.5 last week against Carolina. Made a boatload. Thank you for that, by the way.
That's true. Wow. Made a boatload.
Wow. He made a good decision. I don't know this team.
Is he openly admitting that he's betting on NFL
games?
I think he can lose a job for that, no?
No.
I think he could lose a number of jobs.
The answer you shoot backwards. How lucky can you get when you allow 100 yards of total offense and win the game? How lucky is that?
I don't think that's very lucky.
Right. That's
it's 100 yards of total offense.
I mean, Nebraska did nothing the whole game. They were lucky to have the lead.
They had Ndamukong Suh. And honestly, Ndamukong Suh deserved the Heisman.
What, based on that game?
Based on not only that game being a punctuation.
Toby Gerhardt.
You know? No, I just, you know, you look for what I look for in a Heisman trophy.
Grub.
By the way, I do get a vote. But what I look for in a dominant in a Heisman Trophy winner is someone who comes in not only as an outstanding individual year, it's not one of those career things, but someone who dominates, someone who is clearly heads and shoulders above the rest.
The best football player in the country.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Mark Ingram did lack that a little bit.
And Sue is one of those.
I think Ingram lacked it. He was consistently very good.
Would you like to know how I voted? You'd like to know how I voted?
Sure.
I voted Ingram number one.
Yeah,
I actually did. I voted my boy McCoy too.
Wow.
And then I put Ndamukong Suh three.
What happened to all that romantic, it's not about the career thing?
Well, how does 70% of your passes on a team that goes 13-0 or 12-0?
Did he play as well this year as he has in the previous two?
Sucky. He played better this year than he did 2 years ago. statistically. Last year, come on,
statistically,
Paul.
Maybe.
Last year, statistically, you could make a case that McCoy got robbed last year because statistically he had a better year than Bradford.
I agree.
Okay, so you know, last year he had one of the best years any individual has ever had as a collegiate quarterback.
That's why he almost
won
it this year.
It doesn't matter what he did. Anyway.
But I didn't.
That's why he almost won it this year.
Well, that may very well be.
But
I didn't vote for him. I kind of felt when the end run came,
Sue should have won, and you didn't vote for him either.
Right?
In retrospect, in retrospect, he's the guy from Texas. It's all Texas.
What I meant was is that I thought that Ingram had the more dominating performance against a team when it mattered most, against Florida.
That was his best game.
That was easily his best game.
That was the only guy. That was the only game that he wowed me.
Right.
Was that Texas game? The Florida game. And that, listen, that was the biggest.
It's a good game to have your wow game.
Good game to do it. But
it's a hell of a deal.
The previous game, when they were in all kinds of trouble against Auburn, he was a complete non-factor. And I don't think the best player in the country can ever be a non-factor in a game.
No, that's true. And he was basically a non-factor in the game.
C.J. Spiller, to me,
was
as non-factor as anybody,
well,
and he wasn't
was
a
non-factor in the game because of Ndamukong Suh. That's why he was a non-factor in the game.
The fact that C.J. Spiller wasn't a top-five guy, to me, is amazing. I thought that guy dominated every game he played.
He played in the ACC.
So what?
Yeah, but his numbers and what he
ACC
did.
ACC is a
conference snobbery.
Junior varsity.
Wow.
Wow.
I do not
More importantly, can you slow down and say Sue's first name?
Ndamukong.
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 Fred. What? Fred. Again, teach him.
Ndamukong.
I'll tell you what we're going to have to
Dominican.
We're going to have to
sort
write that phonetically and put that up there.
It's Ndamukong.
Was?
Yeah.
Sue.
Ndamukong.
It's not like as the. Who's
Santa
who's
Domingo.
The on CBS, the guy that. Tim Brando. He called him Ndamukong. You know, and because that's how it's spelled.
Media crime right there.
Yeah, definite media crime.
Who's that hack with the national gig?
All right, just learn to pronounce the guy's name right.
John Rook is coming up.
He's
got a lot of complaints about people he's going to be talking about from 2 to 4.
Stay tuned for a very negative Patriots table.
We have to do
take the points.
We have to go tape our TV show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.